Hello and welcome to Falcon Stadium on the campus of Perry Meridian High School in South Central Indianapolis. My name is Lex Thorne and I'll be bringing you all the action as your Plainfield Quakers challenge the Perry Meridian Falcons in week 4 of the Indiana high school football season. Well, there's lots of tension in the air tonight among us Plainfield fans as our beloved Quakers are off to their first 0-3 start in 26 years. 3 weeks ago, they opened up the season hosting Greenfield Central and did a fairly good job containing the Cougars' same wishbone offense. But 3 defensive lapses resulted in touchdown passes of 59 and 53 yards and a rushing touchdown of 77 yards. On the offensive side, Plainfield rushed surprisingly well, but quarterback Hunter Newell completed only 9 of 25 passes and threw 3 interceptions as Greenfield Central won 30-28. Then 2 weeks ago, the Quakers took a long bus trip up to Tippecanoe County to play the Harrison Raiders. While Plainfield contained Harrison fairly well except for an 80-yard touchdown rush, the Quakers got almost nothing going on offense until the fourth quarter, by which time their margin of error was almost zero. They still had a chance to tie the game and put it into overtime, but the Raiders intercepted a Hail Mary on the last play of the game. Finally, last week, Plainfield returned home to play probably their toughest opponent they'll play all season, the Mooresville Pioneers, Class 4A state championship contenders led by Mr. Football candidate and maybe the best dual-threat quarterback in state history, Nick Patterson. The Quakers would have needed a near-perfect game to pull it out, and they had some good early drives, but were done in by 2 interceptions, one at the Mooresville 1-yard line and one in the end zone, and the Pioneers rolled to a 38-7 win. Tonight, entering the second third of the regular season, Plainfield will try to get back on track and seems to have a good chance to do so against the Perry Meridian Falcons, who finished last year in the Mid-State Conference every year since joining in 2018, and who Plainfield has beaten by at least 21 points every year. Now, so far this week, Plainfield has rushed 89 times and passed 67, a ratio of 1.3-1. Junior quarterback Hunter Newell has completed 36 of 66 passes for 339 yards, 2 touchdowns, but 7 interceptions. His leading receiver is senior Grant Irwin, who has 10 rushes for 130 yards and 1 touchdown, followed by junior Isaiah Miller with 8 receptions for 89 yards and senior Chris Stevens with 3 for 40. On the ground, the Quakers are led by senior Troy Larrison with 27 rushes for 225 yards and a touchdown, followed by senior Noah Hessen with 29 rushes for 160 yards and 4 touchdowns. Meanwhile, Perry Meridian has rushed 82 times. Perry Meridian has rushed 82 times and passed 66, a ratio of 1.2-1. Sophomore Alan Zupin has completed 36 of 66 passes for 493 yards, 3 touchdowns, and 1 interception. He has 3 receivers who contribute about equally. Senior Landon Egan has 11 receptions for 173 yards and 3 touchdowns. Sophomore Brian Hahn has 6 receptions for 152 yards, and senior Isaiah Hunter has 13 for 145. On the ground, the Falcons are led by junior Jordan Cisneros with 43 rushes for 105 yards and 2 touchdowns, and sophomore Andy Warren with 11 rushes for 25 yards. Plainfield head coaches Brian Woodard, who's 92-82 in his 17th and final season with the Quakers. Head coach for Perry Meridian is Brett Cooper, who's 4-20 in his 3rd season with the Falcons at 25-32 in his 6th season overall. He previously served 3 years as head coach at Indian Creek. So now at this time, Plainfield will be kicking off to Perry Meridian, 6:59 your time of day. So starting right on time, if not a little bit early here, Plainfield looking for its first one of the season here in Game 4. It's a mid-level kick. It is fielded at the 19, brought up to the 25. 30, and down at about the 32. So Perry Meridian will go first on offense here with 11:56 to go in the first quarter. My name is Lex Thorne, coming at you live here from South Central Indianapolis. This is my first time ever being here on the campus of Perry Meridian High School. Perry Meridian they were shut out last week, 42-0, in their Mid-State Conference opener against Franklin. They did score 38 points 2 weeks ago in their lone win of the season against Southport. So now one receiver to the left, two to the right. Screen pass, and it's caught there for a short gain, and each guy in the room on the right gets up for about 5 or 6 yards. That was Isaiah Hunter there. They give him credit for 3. Thought he'd get a little more than that. So Perry Meridian goes to, they get a completion on their first play. Alan Zupin, once again, is their quarterback. So now the Falcons line up to 2nd and 7 now at their own 35. 2 receivers to the left, 1 to the right. And now a handoff, but they're right on top of him. And that's been a problem for Terry Meridian all years. They don't have any, they don't have anybody averaging even 3 yards on the ground per carry. So that'll be 3rd and 9 after a loss there of 2 on that rush. So that puts Perry Meridian in a 3rd and long. Plainfield would love to start off the game with a, love to start off the game with a 3 and out here. And now it's a cut on the deflection. Could have been intercepted, but he only gets about 2 yards on it. Gabe, so we get a rare reception by an offensive lineman. That was Gabe Steamer there for 2, and the Falcons will punt. So Zupin completes his first 2 passes, but only go for a total of 5 yards, and that's coupled with a 2 yard loss there. So Plainfield, and the punt is taken at the 30. And he called for a fair catch, so that was, I believe that was Larison there. So Plainfield will start over at the 30, following a punt of 35 yards there. So Plainfield will take over with 9:29 to go. Perry Meridian, a weak offense, a weak rushing offense that's plagued them all season. They don't have a rusher averaging 3 yards a carry, and that's going to, they have a decent, decent passing offense, but if Plainfield can contain it, then it could be a long night for the Falcons. And now Plainfield starts off with a rush, and he might get back to the line of scrimmage. That was, I believe, Larison there. Antonio Williams, excuse me. Antonio Williams did score a touchdown a couple of weeks ago against Harrison, our only score before the fourth quarter. So they give Williams credit for 0. There's now 2 receivers to the right, 1 to the left, 1 running back, Newell in shotgun, high snap. But he gets it, and he's got some room around the right side. He's got some, now a hole up the middle. He takes it over 20 yards past midfield, and that's Troy Larison with 21 or 22 yards. And the Quakers are in business with 8:38 to go here in the first quarter. They give him 20. So after Williams was stuffed on his first rush, then they give it to Larison, who had a 71-yarder for a touchdown last week in the game against Mooresville. The only Quaker score of the game. Larison picks up where he left off at 20 tonight. 1st and 10 now at the 50 for the Quakers. 2 receivers to the left, 1 to the right. Larison, the running back, Newell in shotgun. Another high snap. Fakes the handoff to Larison. Throws up the middle, and it is tipped incomplete. So Newell went deep a lot, you know, in the opener 3 weeks ago against Greenfield Central. And then the last couple of weeks, he seemed reluctant to throw deep, except when Plainfield's been in desperate situations. He's been very conservative for much of the last 2 games. And when he went deep the first week, it was more often than not to Grant Irwin, who the Quakers are banking on having a big senior season after playing little varsity ball until this year. So now we've got Isaiah Miller and Grant Irwin out to the left, or to the right. Another high snap. Gives it to Larison. He's hit at our line of scrimmage. He tossed forward for maybe two, so it's going to be a third and long for the Quakers. They were ready for Larison that time. Larison did not play any varsity ball until this year, so they get credit for two there. So 2 for 22 for Troy Larison, the senior track and field star. Played JV football 2 years ago. Did not play football at all last year. But, you know, after the graduation of Juan Diego III, the Quakers had a big hole to fill at running back. And Larison so far has done very well in two of the three games. He was mostly shut down against Harrison, but did well against Greenfield Central and Mooresville. So now takes the handoff, and Newell rolls to his left, gets rid of it, and it's just over the head of Vanderbush. So Newell is incomplete on his first two passes. The Quakers might be at four down territory, although it wouldn't surprise me if they tried to punt deep into Falcon territory, since Perry Meridian does not have a real good offense. And they are going for it on 4th and 8. Two receivers to the right, one to the left, one running back, Newell in shotgun. This time, I believe Antonio Williams is in there on running back. No, but he does punt it. It's a high punt. Nobody's back deep receiving. Bounces up the 15, takes a quicker bounce inside the 10, but now a Perry Meridian bounce out of bounds at the 11 or 12. So with 7:09 to go, the Pioneers will go out for their second try at offense. Tonight they were 3 and out the first time after two completed short passes, but a rush for a loss. I'll tell you, this isn't the most ideal situation to commentate in. They've got me in a box here, in a room here with a radio crew of two other guys, but fortunately they're fairly soft-spoken, so hopefully you'll be able to hear me okay. So now, Perry Meridian, two receivers to the right, one to the left, and now a handoff, and they're right on top of him again. He gets an 81. That was Jordan Cisneros that time. I thought he might get 1 or 2 yards, but no. So Cisneros, the team's leading rusher on the season, averages only about 2.5 yards a carry, but he does have 3 touchdowns. So they did give credit for one, sorry. So 2nd and 9 at the 12, 2nd and 9 at the 12 for the Falcons. Two receivers to the right, one to the left, Cisneros, the running back. And now they hand it off to, and this time he gets maybe 4, so it's still going to be about 3rd and 6. Sorry, that was Andy Warren, excuse me. So Andy Warren, a sophomore, actually played quite a bit of varsity ball last year as a freshman. It showed some promise. 11 for 25 coming into this game. They give him 3 right there. So now now likely to be a pass here. Boy, it would be great for the Quaker defense if we could start off with a 2 consecutive 3 and outs. We're more than halfway through this first quarter already, 7:09, your time of day. And now we got the play whistle dead. And this other radio crew is pronouncing the quarterback, Perry Meridian quarterback's name as DuPont, so I'll go with that. I'm unclear about whether they're Perry Meridian commentators or not. So Perry Meridian takes a timeout with 5:40 to go, and we'll be right back after these words from our sponsors on Plainfield. We'll be right back after these words from our sponsors. You're listening to Plainfield Quakers Football on AudioSportsOnline.com. The Plainfield Athletic Department would like to thank our sponsors for making tonight's broadcast possible. They are CCB Contracting, Geodis, Janelle Financial, Julia Berbera, Remax Center Stone Plainfield, Kyle Burnfield, Mortgage Lander, Flagstar Bank, Team Curley, Fairway Mortgage, Bailey and Wood Financial Group, Africa Plum Home, My IT Indy at myitindy.com, I-70 Record Service and Garage, BGW Construction LLC, The Beacon Sign Company, Jeff Brown Photography, Karen Alexander Photography, and Whitlow's Towing. Thank you, business partners. Your support for the student-athletes of Plainfield High School is greatly appreciated. Well, back here at South Central Indianapolis, Perry Meridian has the ball 3rd and 6 at their own 15. And now, they got him, nearly got him for a sack. He rolls out of it, but he's still brought down for only a gain of about 2. So that'll be a short pickup for Alan Dupont, bringing up about 4th and 4. So presumably the Falcons will punt here. And we got a Falcons player down, so we got an official timeout with 5:21 to go. So, I think it was Dupont, the quarterback, who did get hurt there. That was his first rush of the game. I give him credit. He looked like he was down for a sack, and he weaved his way out of it. And, you know, did get a gain there of 2 yards. Now he stands up, and he's walking off the field with assistance. It looks like he does not want to put much weight on his left foot. Hopefully he'll be okay, getting a nice ovation from this crowd. 82 degrees your temperature here in South Central Indianapolis. We had a high of 84 today. 84 also the projected high for a week from tonight, when Plainfield will continue its two-game road trip down at Greenwood as they continue mid-state conference play. Hopefully we'll get out there for that one. Good chance Quakers will get a win there. So now Troy Larrison back deep to receive the punt for Plainfield, standing just past the 50. And now it's a high punt, bounces inside, and now it goes past the 50 up to the 45 and rolls down to about the 41 and still rolling now, dies at the 40. So that will be a 43-yard punt there for the Falcons, which not bad at all. It did take about 15 yards worth of rolling and bouncing after it hit the ground. So now Plainfield gets a second shot on offense. First time Troy Larrison had a 20-yard rush to give us a first down, but then we stalled him there, gained only 2 yards over the next 3 plays, and ended up punting. Still no score. Game 4 of 9 in the regular season. The Quakers 0-3. Their first 0-3 start since 1996. Trying to avoid their first 0-4 start since 1995. That year they started 0-5, finished 2-7. So Perry Sears to the left, a little movement, and now screen pass. Irwin's got it, and he's got a hole, and he could go all the way. One man to beat, 30, 20, but yes, Grant Irwin, 60 yards for the touchdown. All right, that's the kind of play we need. So with 4:48 to go here in the first quarter, your Quakers opened the scoring there. It was just a little screen pass, but he found a hole, and he was gone. Grant Irwin with his second touchdown of the season, 3rd of his career. All right. A big shout-out to his grandmother, my former co-worker, Brenda White, if she's listening. Hopefully she is. Well, hopefully she's right here in the crowd among the approximately 125, 150 Quakers fans who made the trip from the West Indianapolis suburbs. So now Cameron Grimes trying to remain perfect on extra points on the year. He's 5 for 5. This one is up, and it is good. So, all right. So Quakers building the momentum here. After a 60-yard touchdown pass from Hunter Newell to Grant Irwin, that's only Newell's 3rd touchdown of the year compared to 7 interceptions. Hopefully that'll give that young man some confidence in his first year as the full-time starter. All right. So quick recap here at South Central Indianapolis. Perry Meridian got the ball first. Went 3 and out. Plainfield got the ball, and after a 20-yard rush by Troy Larrison, stalled and punted after 3 more plays. Then Perry Meridian did have another 3 and out. And then on the first play of Plainfield's ensuing drive, a screen pass by Hunter Newell to Grant Irwin turned into a 60-yard touchdown. So, hopefully that will be what is needed to kickstart the Quakers offense, which has been very sluggish the last 2 games, only worked. They did get 28 points against Greenfield Central 3 weeks ago in the opener, only 21 points combined the last two weeks, and including only 7 points in the second half. That was the 8-yard pass from Newell to Antonio Williams coming up that blocked punt that we recovered at the Harrison 8. So now deep kick, and it's fielded. The two Perry Mooney guys almost collided, but now they've got some room up to about the 36 or 37. So the Falcons with a decent field position here. Well, I'll tell you, you know, one thing that's really frustrating, you know, is that when you're a talented kid and you play for a larger school, and you would be playing when you'd be starting for a lot of smaller schools, but you still end up on the bench because your team is so deep. I hold that thought. And now we got a handoff there to Warren for his second run. He gets for maybe two, and it looks like we got a new quarterback in here. Yes, Raul Caldera. He is a senior for the Falcons. So Warren, 2 for 3 now, 2nd and 9. Allen Dupont, the Perry Meridian quarterback, already out of the game, possibly with a left foot or ankle injury that he sustained on a 2-yard rush. So now Raul Caldera takes over for the Falcons. Two receivers to the right, one to the left. And now a handoff here, and they're right on top of him, and he gets almost nothing there. So Plainfield has had good rushing defense all season long, and they continue it there as Jonathan Hunter stuck for 0. So 2 rushes for the Falcons on this drive, no yards to show for it. So 3rd down already, 3rd and 10 for the Falcons. Boy, it'd be great if we could stop them here and get the ball back, make it a 2 touchdown lead here in the first quarter, put this game away early. And now it takes the handoff. Caldera rolls to his right, but they're right on top of him. He gets rid of it, throws to nobody, and so it'll be 4th and 10, and the Falcons apparently will punt it through a 7 to go in the first quarter, trailing 7-0. So, great start to the game for the Quakers. The only blocks, they did not score in the first possession. But other than that, this has been a near-perfect game so far. And, boy, did they need this. And now, punt taken at the 33, brought up to about the 37. That was Larrison again. So now your Quakers with a 7-0 lead takeover is 2:58 to go. Things in danger of slipping away early for the Falcons. They've not only down 7-0 and in danger of going down by 2 touchdowns, but their starting quarterback is out of the game. And Allen Dupont is having a fairly good year, especially for a sophomore. He's showing a lot of promise, a little undersized at 5'9", 173, but putting up fairly good numbers, all things considered. So now Plainfield on offense. 2 receivers to the left, 1 to the right. Hunter Newell in shotgun. 1 running back. I believe that's Williams. They give it to him, and he gets up for about 4 or 5. They have Antonio Williams. His first rush was for no gain, but he picks up about 5 there. Now they give it to Williams again. He spins around. He's close to the first down. He might have it. It depends on the spot. He'll be within at least a yard. Yeah, they give him credit for the first. All right. So the Quakers have moved the chains on every position today. 2:31 to go here in the first quarter. 7:20 your time of day. Plainfield 7, Perry Meridian nothing. Perry Meridian 0. The Quakers have the ball 1st and 10 at their own at their own 48. Newell, fake standoff to Williams. Got time. Throws deep downfield. He's got a man open. He's gets caught inside the 10. That was Caden Vanderbush there. He's brought down at the 5. So that's a pickup of about 47 yards there. The 6. So Vanderbush with his first reception. I believe that's only his second reception on the season. So already, ineligible receiver downfield, so it's coming back. Sorry about that. I missed the flag and all the excitement. Nevertheless, it's a great catch, Hopefully, the catch, even though it doesn't count, will continue to give Newell some more confidence, because even though he did throw a touchdown pass on his first pass of the game, it was only a little screen pass where Irwin happened to find the open space, where that was a deep pass. And, Newell has barely thrown deep since game one, in which he had a lot of deep passes that just didn't connect, mostly to Irwin. So now two receivers to the left, one to the right. Williams, the running back, high snap, gives it to Williams. Finds some room over on the left, now up the center. He's got close to the first down, and he's going to be about a yard short. So Antonio Williams starting to hit his stride here, threatening to make this the best game of his career. He was stuffed on his first rush, but now his last three have gone for 18 combined. Excuse me. So second and three for the Quakers on the the handoff again. This time to Larrison, and he's got the first down, maybe a yard more. Larrison had two early carries that went for 22 yards combined. Give him three on that one, three for 25 on the game. Troy Larrison got his first first ever varsity touchdown last week. 71 yards against Mooresville. So first and 10 at the Perry Meridian 42 for the Quakers, already with a 7-0 lead. Handoff now once again. This time they stopped him dead on his tracks. That time it was Wesley Addington with his first rush, his first varsity carry of the season. They stopped him right at the line of scrimmage. Wesley Addington is a sophomore, 5'10", 174. So, actually, they're minus one there. So, second and 11 for the Quakers at the Perry Meridian 43. And now a handoff. This time to Williams, he gets about 4 or 5, so it'll be third and about 6 or so. Antonio Williams already with 5 carries here in the... And that will be the end of the quarter. So after one quarter of play here in South Central Indianapolis, your Playfield Quakers looking very promising in their quest to get their first win of the season. They lead the Perry Meridian Falcons 7-0 here on AudioSportsOnline.com. The Playfield Athletic Department would like to thank our sponsors for making tonight's broadcast possible, and we encourage you to support them. CCB Contracting, Geodis, Ganell Financial, Julia Berberich, Remax Peterstone Plainfield, Kyle Burnfield, Mortgage Lender, Flagstar Bank, Team Curly Fairway Mortgage, Bailey and Wood Financial Group, Africa Plum Home, MyITND at MyITND.com, I-70 Record Service and Garage, BCW Construction LLC, Beacon Sign Company, Jeff Brown Photography, Karen Alexander Photography, and Whitlow Sewing. Thank you, business partners. Your support for the student athletes of Plainfield High School is greatly appreciated. Well, back here at South Central Indianapolis, your Plainfield Quakers have played just possibly their best quarterback of the season, possibly their best quarter of the season. They lead the Perry Meridian Falcons by a score of 7-0, and now it's 3rd and 7 at the Perry Meridian 38. And now a high snap. He gives it to Larrison on a reverse. He sweeps around. He's going to be very close to the first down, at least within a yard. We'll see what kind of spot he gets. Larrison was 3 for 25 in the first quarter. Playfield's score was on a 60-yard touchdown pass from Hunter Duell to Grant Irwin. So Larrison gets credit for 6, bringing up 4th and 1. The Quakers apparently will go for it. So now, two receivers to the left, one to the right. No, two to each side, excuse me. Antonio Williams, the running back, he's had a very good game today, 5 for 33 in the first quarter. So now Newell takes it, throws deep into the end zone. He's got it for the touchdown. Yes, Grant Irwin. Grant Irwin, 33 yards, his second touchdown of the game. The first was from 60. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. We're doing it tonight, baby. I could taste victory. So Grant Irwin coming into tonight, 2 touchdowns in his career. Now he has 2 in just a little over a quarter, 60 and 33 yards. All right. Those, by the way, are both of Grant Irwin's completions tonight. He was incomplete on his first 2, complete on his last 2 for 93 yards and 2 touchdowns. And now Cameron Grimes trying to go... trying to stay perfect on extra points on the season. And it is up, and it is good. So, with 11:09 to go here in the second quarter at South Central Indianapolis, your Playfield Quakers on the way to their first win of the season, leading the Perry Meridian Falcons by a score of 14-0 here on AudioSportsOnline.com. My name is Lex Zorn. Proud to be the voice of Plainfield football tonight. This is my 11th season here with AudioSportsOnline.com, my 11th season covering the Quakers. And I want to remind you all that tomorrow morning we're going to be back at Plainfield for a freshman-junior varsity doubleheader between these two schools starting at 9 a.m. So come out and see an exciting 2 games. That hopefully the Quakers will sweep. We'll be bringing you the game live on AudioSportsOnline.com. But we hope you'll get out there in person if you can. I love that Plainfield. That Plainfield, unlike most schools, has to carry their freshman and JV games. I think it's so good to give the attention to the kids as they try to work up their as they try to work up the ladder into the varsity program, and you give you fans a look at the future of Quakers football. So hope you all will get out there and show the kids that you support them as they strive to get up to the varsity program and help Plainfield football keep on moving up to its goal of becoming an annual state championship contender. So now a deep kick. It's fielded at the 14, brought up to the 20, 25. He's got some room. Seeing instructions a few times, stopped at about the 27. Good effort on the return. Boy, I'll tell you, coming into tonight, Hunter Newell had 2 touchdowns, 7 interceptions tonight already, 2 touchdowns, no interceptions. So I think this is going to be a breakthrough game for that young man, and hopefully give him a great boost of confidence. Last year, he split the time about equally with Carson Melvin, who transferred to Westfield. So this is clearly Newell's team. And now a handoff. We got a Cisneros took the handoff, and he got about 5 yards, but we got a flag here, so we'll see if it counts or not. Holding against Perry Meridian, so it's coming back. So 10:53 to go here in the second quarter. Game 4 of the season, Plainfield 0-3. They're on their first 0-3 start since 1996. Trying to avoid their first 0-4 start since 1995. I don't think they have anything to worry about now, the way things are going. They've scored almost at will so far. on 60 and 33-yard passes from Hunter Newell to Grant Irwin. And to make matters worse for Prairie Meridian, their starting quarterback, Alan Dupont, is already out of the game with a possible foot or ankle injury. I'm sorry about that. But nevertheless, you know, certainly it's another obstacle for Prairie Meridian tonight. And now Hunter takes the Jonathan Hunter taking the ball, and he gets maybe two or three. They give him credit for three on that one, bringing up second and 17. So, obviously, we can afford to let them have, you know. Obviously, we can afford to let them have all the 3-yard rushes that you know, that they'll take. And they changed the scoreboard. Now they only give them credit for one. So third and 19 for the Falcons. And now we got a timeout. I think the Falcons have taken a timeout, feeling this one slipping away. And they've already taken two now with 9:44 to go here in the second quarter. Don't forget, 1 week from tonight, your Plainfield Quakers will be out on the road at Greenwood on their second consecutive road game. Greenwood coming into tonight, their probable loss against Mooresville with a record of 1-2. And, you know, their only win coming against Seymour. So that's a likely Plainfield win. We are on a six-game winning streak against the Woodmen, although last year we only beat them by three. That was a really odd game last year when we we were up 14-0, then they switched quarterbacks, not because of injury, and they put in a sophomore named Brock Riddle, who we looked completely faced by, and he actually gave the Woodmen a fourth-quarter lead before we came back. And now fakes the handoff, and now they got a reverse, and it looks like it's not going to work very well. Isaiah Hunter picks up maybe two or three, and we got a late flag. Hopefully that's not a personal foul. I mean, I know that we've got this game firmly in our control. And, oh, no, another injury. And, by the way, Alan Dupont, the Prairie Meridian quarterback on crutches now, that's a very concerning sign. Hopefully he will be okay. You know, last year, Prairie Meridian was coming off only three wins of their last four seasons combined. All right, well, Coach Woodard won't like that. Isaiah Hunter only 2 yards on a rush, but... And then a late hit after the play results in 15 yards and a first down for the Falcons. So that's disheartening. And I always say as a coach, you're going to get a holding once in a while. You're going to get a pass interference once in a while, but you don't want any penalties that result from lack of discipline. So that's, you know, something that, you know, I'm sure Coach Woodard will be addressing here in his 17th season as head coach and his farewell season. He's in his 26th year with the program. So now Prairie Meridian back in motion here. And now handoff there to Hunter, and he's to Isaiah Hunter, and he's picked up just about two, so it'll be a second and 8. So Isaiah Hunter now has carried on the last two plays for a total of 5 yards. So I'll try to they also another running back for the Falcons, Jonathan Hunter. So I will try to designate between the two. You know, I remember when I commentated Cascade basketball. I was their main boys and girls basketball commentator for 3 years. There was 1 year where they had three triplets in the starting lineup on the girls team, the Bryans. So now two receivers to the right, one to the left. And now high snap under pressure. He gets rid of it, and it's a completion But he said immediately that was Byron Hahn there. So Caldera, his first pass of the game, goes for a completion. And they give him credit for 5 on that. So now Byron Hahn picks up 5 there, so it'll bring up 4th and 3. The Falcons do not have an earned first down tonight. They just got the free one on the penalty. And now we stop them getting distracted so they don't get it here. That was Jonathan Hunter. And now we've got another Falcon injury. God, this is terrible. I mean, I know that I'm the playfield guy, but I don't like to see anybody get hurt. That's 3 injuries now in the first 15 and a half minutes of this game. So anyway, to catch you up while we've got this injury timeout, your score, Plainfield 14, Terry Meridian nothing. The Falcons went 3 and out on their first possession, but then have scored easily on their second and third possessions, both on long passes from Hunter Newell to Grant Irwin, one for 60 yards, the other for 33 yards. Cameron Grimes was good on both extra points, bringing us to our current score of 14-0. And Perry Meridian, they're already down to their second-string quarterback. Alan Zupon was knocked out of the game. He's on crutches now with a possible left foot or ankle injury. And the backup quarterback, a senior named Raul Caldera, thrust into action for Perry Meridian tonight. The Falcons still do not have an earned first down. They got one first down on a personal foul. So Perry Meridian, normally you wouldn't go for it in this situation, but they might be desperate enough to do it here at their own 4th and 3 at their own 45. So Troy Larrison, the track and field star, back deep to receive for your Quakers, standing at about the 17. They get the punt off. It's a and now it's fielded on a bounce by Larrison around the 13, brought up to the 20, 25, spins around up to about the 30. So nice return there by Larrison. Got about 16 or 17 yards. So the Quakers will take over at 8:07, trying to take a commanding lead. And, you know, I've mentioned it occasionally. I haven't mentioned it tonight. My son, Liam, who's with me, he always accompanies me to these games. He's a senior in high school now, going to Lawrence Central High School. He and Grant Irwin were third-grade classmates at Harrison Hill Elementary in the Ben Davis system when they both lived in the west side of Indianapolis. So Liam's really glad to see his former classmate do so well tonight. So now Plainfield back on offense, trying to take a commanding three-possession lead. Two receivers to the right, one to the left, screen pass, and now it's completed. And he breaks the tackle at the line of scrimmage and gets up to about 4 or 5. That's Caden Vanderbush. And they give him credit for 7 on that one. So Hunter Newell already with 100 yards now. He's had a struggle getting to 100 yards in each of these games so far, but he's doing it easily tonight, so hopefully giving that young man a much-needed boost of confidence after his sluggish start to the season. So 2nd and 3 now. Now handoff. And the Larrison, he's in his line of scrimmage, but punch him on the right. I think he's got the first. Maybe he's a yard short. We'll see what kind of spot they give him. And now we got a flag after the play. 7:22 to go now. We got 3 officials deliberating now near the spot of the tackle. Personal foul against Perry Meridian, so we get 15 free yards, moving us into Falcon territory. Fans have continued filing in for Plainfield. It looks like they have between 150 and 200 fans on the over across from the visiting bleachers. We typically have about 200 for our road games. tough trip to get here, you know, swinging around on 465 this time on a Friday. So kudos to all the fans who did it. Hopefully you all will get back out to Plainfield tomorrow for the freshman JV doubleheader starting at 9 in the morning. And now we got pass interference there. Oh, I can't believe that. It looked to me like he was clearly hit before the contact was made. I don't like that. I wish we had instant replay for that one. So that'll bring up second and 10 for the Quakers at the Falcon 46. Plainfield already has a 14-0 lead, 7-11 to go here in the second quarter. The Quakers trying to put this one away in the first half. That would be a welcome contrast to the three tough losses to start the season. So now very aggressive formation, three receivers to the left, one to the right. Now Newell, plenty of time. He rolls to his right. He could take this one himself. He does it for the 45-40 out of bounds near the first down. So Hunter Newell with his first rush of the game. Didn't get as good a spot as I thought, but they give him five at least, bringing up third and five. Even 7 minutes to go here in the second quarter. Plainfield 14, Perry Meridian 0, game 4 of 9 in the regular season. The Quakers 0-3, the Falcons 1-2. Perry Meridian already lost its starting quarterback, Alan DuPont, in the first quarter. Senior backup Raul Caldera is into the game now. So now for the Quakers, 3rd and 5 at the 39. And now a hit at the line, but he slouched forward. He's going to be just short of the first, I believe. That was, Antonio Williams again, bringing up 4th and short. He gets up, it looked to me like he was limping a little bit, although I think he's going to stay in the game. Williams has more carries than anybody on the team tonight, 6. They've gone for 37 yards, so he's just over 6 a carry. Very good. Quakers going for it here. Two receivers to the left. Newell under center, I formation now. However, they telegraph it, and Williams is brought down for a loss, and the Quakers turn it over on downs. So that brings some life out of the Falcons and their fans who have not had much to cheer about in this game. And that's a loss of about 4 yards there. And that's the first time I recall, God, that might be the first time Plainfield's run an I formation all season. In my early years, they ran it all the time. But Coach Woodard's a very versatile coach. He adapts his game plan to the talent he has available at the time. So now Caldera, now they got him for a sack. Yes, yes. That's a loss of about 8 for Caldera there. So now that's going to, they give him a loss of 8 there, so Caldera.
He has 2 tonight. 3 on the season.
So now 2nd and 16 now. They get 2nd and 16 now for the Falcons at their own 35. And now they rush, but they're right on top of him. He gets for 2 or 3. They can afford to give him those 3 yards. So that was... I think that was Tristan Long there on the rush there for the Falcons. So now 2 receivers to the left, 1 to the right. Caldera in shotgun. He's the backup quarterback. Now he's got plenty of time, and he throws deep downfield into double coverage, and it is incomplete. So that'll bring up another 4th and long for the Falcons, and they will apparently punt this. So, just about, and now a punt, and Larison takes it, and he might have touched it. He gets it on a bounce at about the 21, brings it up to the 25, 30, 35, so nice job making something out of nothing, and we got a late flag, possibly a late hit, and if it's a personal foul against Perry Meridian, that would bring it up to about the 50. The lights are on here in South Central Indianapolis, coming at you live at Falcon Stadium on the campus of Perry Meridian High School. The Falcons, the only 6A team here in the Mid-State Conference. They're the only 6A team in the conference, but they... Yeah, so against Perry Meridian, so against Perry Meridian, so the Quakers have the ball just shy of the 50 now. So 4:41 to go. The Quakers do get the ball first to start the second half. So they've had four possessions. They had a punt, two touchdowns, a turnover on downs. It'd be great if they could get a touchdown here and then get one to start off the second half and take a four-possession lead. That would be virtually insurmountable, especially with Perry Meridian on their second-string quarterback. So now Newell's got time. He's got a hole up the middle, up to the 50, and he slides down after a pick of about 7 or 8. So Hunter Newell has rushed very well so far. Hunter Newell having easily his best game of the season. 3 of 5 for 100 yards. And 2 touchdowns, no interceptions. So Newell with 7 there. And now they got a rush up the middle. It's going to be just short of the first down. That's going to be Antonio Williams again, already with his 8th carry of the game. Antonio Williams, 8 of 35, 4.375 yards a carry. Newell, 2 for 12. Larison, after being the dominant rusher last week, only 4 carries tonight, but he's done well with them, 31 yards, nearly 8 a carry. So now we've got third and one, and now we've got a flag here, and play whistle dead. Fans are stomping on the bleachers here. So false start against the playing field, bringing third and one to third and 6. Got about 1,000 Perry Meridian fans here, about 200, maybe 250 Quaker fans now. You see a lot of late arriving fans, you know, who get stuck in the traffic for some of these, you know, what I call I-465 games. So 3rd and 6 now, the Quakers with the ball at the 50. Newell takes, he's got time, and he runs, he's got a hole up the middle. Spins around, and he's brought down just about a yard short. So Newell rushing very well tonight. And that's twice now on this possession. And they give him credit for the first. They give him for the 6 yards. So 3 for 18, 6 the carry tonight for Newell. 2:50 to go now. And that's twice that Newell has gone through, has gone between two, has taken, that's twice tonight that Newell has just made a bad dash between two, Perry Meridian defenders. So now we've got two receivers to each side now. Williams, they're running back, Newell in shotgun. Another high snap, but he gets it. And now he's got time, throws deep to Irwin. It's out of bounds. Nevertheless, a breakthrough game tonight for Hunter Newell. Only 3 for 7, but the 3 receptions for 100 yards and 2 touchdowns, and most importantly, no interceptions. So 2nd and 10 now. So now we got Stevens to the right, Irwin, Vanderbush, and one other receiver to the left. I think Larison is back in there, running back now. So now Newell takes it. He rolls to his left. He's pursued, and he has a fumble. Fumble, and Terry Bradian has it. Oh, no. I don't think he was aware of... Oh, no. So I don't think Newell looks to me like he was not aware how close they were to him, and he did not protect the ball. He did not protect the ball at all. So the first blotch in this game for Hunter Newell. And that's very big for Perry Meridian, because now they have a chance to make it a one-possession lead going into halftime. When they were in danger of going down by three possessions, that would be almost impossible for them to overcome with a pretty mediocre offense to begin with. And now their backup quarterback in the game, Alan Zupon, having been injured in the first half, possible left foot or ankle injury. So the Falcons take over now in Quaker territory at the 48. Two receivers to the right, one to the left. One running back, Caldera, low snap, but he gets it. And they got it for a sack. Yes! Yes! All right! Great exclamation, Mark. Great way to break the newfound momentum there for the Quakers. So last time they got Caldera for an 8-yard sack, now a 7-yard sack. I'm probably they changed it to 6, but nevertheless. Yeah, we just got to take advantage of that. And with Perry Meridian having with Zupon, they have an average passing offense, a pretty weak rushing offense. Second and 16 is very daunting for the Falcons. We got to take advantage here. And now our rush there is brought down right around the line of scrimmage. That was, who was that? I think it's, did that say 32? And now Plainfield takes the timeout, maybe hoping that they'll get the ball back with time to do something. There's 1:21 to go. So your Quakers, I like the aggressiveness here. They're not giving up yet on getting another score here in the half. And that rush, by the way, that was number 32, who is not on the roster. Part of the annoying charm of high school ball is there are guys, there are number changes or guys who joined the team and they're not listed on the roster, or they're listed under a different number. So I will just call him by number 32 until I learn his real name. Please know that it's not out of any disrespect, and that's all I know him as. And I remember last year there was a game, I don't remember which one, but there was a player who for most of the game I kept referring to as 45. And, I had to, for the sake of clarification, since I pride myself in non-political broadcasts, I had to, emphasize I was not talking about President Trump. That's 3rd and 17 now. And now it fakes the handoff. And now Caldera under pressure. He throws deep. And he nearly had a completion. It was just a little bit overthrown. Jonathan Hunter was the intended receiver. And I apologize. Number 32 is Andy Warren. I was looking at the wrong roster. So please forgive me there. I figured that Plainfield would have, I had Plainfield's roster in front of me instead of Perry Meridian. So 3 and out for the Falcons, and they nearly block another kick, and now it's fair catch taken at the 26 by Larison. So the Quakers, with 2 timeouts and 1:09 to go, still a chance to take that 3-possession lead into the locker room. So I like their aggressiveness, that they took that timeout to preserve the clock, showing some real confidence in this offense, which is having a breakthrough game tonight. Very fast-paced game, 7:54, your time of day. The lights are on here at South Central Indianapolis. One thing I've learned from 11 years of commentary, high school football commentary, we lose about 10 minutes of daylight a week, here during the high school season. So now, two receivers each side. Newell drops back. He's got time. Throws, and it's... Did he... So that's Chris Stevens there. I don't think he got out of bounds, though, so yeah, the clock will keep on ticking. Chris Stevens had a couple of good moments against Mooresville last week. So Tyree is second and one now, 44 seconds of counting, still with two timeouts. So, and now Newell, he runs with it. He's got the first down, and the clock will stop to move the chains. 35.4 seconds to go. So now they've got to hurry and get to call a play, get into formation. So now 33 seconds and counting after a two-yard pickup by Newell. Although no urgency by the Quakers. Now they let about 10 seconds run off the clock. Now a pass, and he gets on second effort up to about the 50. I believe that was Stevens again. Yes. So now 13. Now all of a sudden two pickups. Now two passes to Stevens for 22 yards. So Newell now has completed half of his passes, 5 of 10, 122 yards, 2 touchdowns, no interceptions. And Plainfield now takes the second timeout with 16.5 seconds to go, just shy of the midfield at the 48. So to catch you up during this timeout, we're coming at you live here from Perry Meridian High School in South Central Indianapolis. Game 4 of 9 of the regular season. Your score, Plainfield 14, Perry Meridian 0. Both Quaker touchdowns are on long passes from Hunter Newell to Grant Irwin, 60 and 33 yards. And the Quakers also have two turnovers, one on downs, one fumble. But Perry Meridian has barely gotten anything going on offense at all. They do not have an earned first down in this game, only one that they got on a penalty. And their backup quarterback, Raul Caldera, a senior, is in the game, replacing the injured Alan Zupon, who went down in the first quarter with a possible left foot or ankle injury. And now 16.5 seconds to go. The Quakers back in action. Three receivers to the left, one to the right. One running back, I believe it's Antonio Williams. So now Newell takes it. He rolls to his left. And now it throws, and I believe it was cut out of bounds. So that... Or did they say he made the catch? No, it was incomplete. Irwin was the intended receiver, just a little too far to the left there. So 5 for 11 through the air for Newell. But again, 120 yards, 2 touchdowns, no interceptions. So now Plainfield still with a timeout to work with, 52 yards shy of the end zone. So they got Stevens out to the left. They've got Vanderbush, Irwin, and one other receiver to the left. Now Newell, and now a screen pass. I believe it was caught by Stevens near the sideline. He got out of bounds with 5.3 seconds to go, and we still have that timeout left. So that's the pickup of about that's 10 yards for Stevens. So now, if we have a quick play, we still, there's a chance we still could get two more plays off. So we'll see how it goes here. The Quakers at the 39. And now we got a whistle here. Maybe the Quakers are going to take their timeout now, since there's a very big chance. No, Perry Meridian takes a timeout. So, you know, that could be good for the Quakers because that preserves their timeout. And if they get like maybe a quick like 10 or 15 yard pass up the middle, then they would have they would be able to possibly get the timeout and maybe go for a field goal or even a touchdown to take that 3-possession lead into the locker room. But even, you know, I don't know what Cameron Grimes' range is. He's hit all 7 of his extra points, but he has not attempted a field goal on the season. Nevertheless, Perry Meridian lucky not to be down by at least 3 scores now, if not 4. The Quakers have had trouble finishing drives all season until tonight. They finished 2 of their 5 But they also gave away a couple of opportunities. They're against a weak enough opponent, so they can probably get away with it, but you can't get away with that every week. So now, three receivers to the left, one to the right, and now fakes the handoff. Newell's got plenty of time, and he throws into the end zone, and it is intercepted. So now, and he's brought down immediately. So it was worth a try. Nevertheless, overall, a good first half. That could have been a great first half for your Plainfield Quakers. They're likely on their way to the first win of the season. They lead the Perry Meridian Falcons 14-0 here on AudioSportsOnline.com. We'll be back with a recap after these words from our sponsors. The Plainfield Athletic Department would like to thank our sponsors for making tonight's broadcast possible, and we encourage you to support them. They are CCB Contracting, Geodis, Gannell Financial, Julia Berberich, REMAX Centerstone Plainfield, Kyle Burnfield, Mortgage Lender, Flagstar Bank, Team Turley Fairway Mortgage, Bailey and Wood Financial Group, Africa Plum Home, MyITindy at MyITindy.com, I-70 Record Service and Garage, BBW Construction LLC, Beacon Sign Company, Jeff Brown Photography, Karen Alexander Photography, that's Karen Alexander Photography, and Whitlow's Towing. Thank you, business partners. Your support of the student athletes of Plainfield High School is greatly appreciated. Well, back here at South Central Indianapolis, we're at halftime with your Plainfield Quakers playing a pretty good game, likely on their way to their first win of the season. They lead the Perry Meridian Falcons 14-0. Should be at least 21, if not 28-0. Nevertheless, a lot more to like than not to like here for the Quakers in the game. Perry Meridian got the ball first. They were held to three and out. Plainfield got the ball then, got one first down and then punted. Perry Meridian then had another three and out. And then Plainfield on the first play of its ensuing possession opened the scoring with 4:48 to go in the first quarter on a 60-yard touchdown pass from Hunter Newell to Grant Irwin. Cameron Grimes was good on the extra point, making it 6-0. Then on Plainfield's next possession, Newell struck 33 yards to Irwin for a touchdown, and Grimes was also good on the extra point, bringing us to our current score of 14-0. Plainfield had the ball three times more in the half. However, they turned it over on downs, lost a fumble, and then on a Hail Mary on the last play of the half, Hunter Newell threw an interception near the end zone. Perry Meridian has not gotten anything going on offense at all. The Falcons have only one first down, which came on a penalty. So, overall, a very good dominating performance by the Quakers, who just haven't finished drives as well as they should have. Look at the individual statistics. First of all, for Plainfield, Hunter Newell has had not a great game, but a good game. He's completed only 6 of 13 passes, but they have gone for 191 yards and 2 touchdowns. He does have an interception, but it comes with an asterisk. It was on a Hail Mary on the last play of the half. On receiving, Grant Irwin has 2 receptions for 93 yards and 2 touchdowns. Chris Stevens came on strong late in the half with 3 receptions all on the last possession for 29 yards, and Caden Vanderbush has 1 reception for 7 yards. On the ground, several guys getting in on the action. Antonio Williams has 8 rushes for 35 yards. Troy Larrison, 4 for 31. Hunter Newell, 3 for 18. And Wesley Addington, 1 for minus 1. Meanwhile, for Perry Meridian, starting quarterback Alan Zupon completed his first 2 passes for 5 yards. No touchdowns and no interceptions, but he left the game with an injury. And then his backup, Raul Caldera, has completed 1 of 2 passes for 1 of 2 passes for 3 yards. For receiving, Byron Hahn has 1 reception for 5 yards. Isaiah Hunter has 1 for 3. Look on the ground, not much to report there either. Andy Warren has 2 rushes for 3 yards. Alan Dupont, 2 for 3. Tristan Ling, 1 for 3. Isaiah Hunter, 2 for 5. He actually leads the team in rushing. Jordan Cisneros, 1 for 1. Jonathan Hunter, 3 for -1. And Raul Caldera, 2 for -13. Both coming on sacks. So in conclusion, Plainfield's defense has been outstanding in this game. Like I said, only 1 first down coming on a penalty for Perry Meridian. Plainfield has moved the ball very well on offense. They just struggled to finish drives. They did come through with the 2 big plays, the 2 touchdown passes from Newell to Irwin. But then they had the turnover on downs. And then on the lost fumble, Newell apparently, he looked like he had no idea the defenders were that close to him. He was not protecting the ball, and he got hammered by 2 guys. So, you know, he'll shake it off and come back strong in the second half. But other than that, you know, it was a good first half for the Quakers. But what I want to see, I give them a B-plus for their first half performance, but I want to see their A-game for the entire second half. I want them to come out on all cylinders and leave no points on the field in the second half. You know, you can leave a few points on the field and beat Perry Meridian. You can't leave points on the field, probably, and beat some of the tougher opponents on our schedule from here on out, like, for example, Plainfield, I'm sorry, like... Decatur Central, like Whiteland, probably like Martinsville and Franklin. The first half, our best half of the season easily. I just want us to do even better in the second half, play a mistake-free half, and just really, really, I just want to see our A game for the whole half. You know, and just put this thing away and not waste any scoring opportunities. I don't see any realistic way that Perry Brady gets back in this game with their second-string quarterback and with us completely dominating. Their highest rusher, their leading rusher has 5 yards in this game. So, you know, it's hard to imagine any realistic scenario by which we lose, but I don't want us to lose just because, you know, we're against a much weaker team. I want us to win. I don't want us to win just because we're up against a weaker team. I want us to win because we really earned it. We've done that to a large extent in the first half, but I want us to just totally kick donkey for the entire second half. And just really, really, you know, have that, you know, feel like, yeah, you know, we totally dominated and, you know, had a dominating performance tonight and our kids really earned this win. You know, John Wooden, you know, is someone who I'm a very big fan of. You probably noticed I quote him a lot. And, he has so many great quotes. But, you know, one thing that's really fascinating about John Wooden is that he says, and I don't think any of his players have ever refuted this, that he never talks to his players about winning. Now, you're probably thinking, he won 2 national championships. How did he not talk to his players about winning? And he explained that once in an interview. He said he did want to win, but he wanted winning to be the byproduct of doing the right things. And I thought about it, it's like, you know, that's a good point. If you, let's say Plainfield played some, like, really low-level 1A team, and they could, you know, win just by giving a weak effort. Well, what does that mean? It doesn't mean much. Yeah, you got the win, but so what, you know? You didn't earn it. You just, you know, you were sloppy in it. It's nothing to feel proud of. But on the other hand, you know, like 2 years ago, you know, during the coronavirus season, when Greenfield Central canceled 4 or 5 days before the game, and we got Carmel to fill in, they came in, you know, they were a 6-8 team. I think they were ranked number one or two at the state. And we played our hearts out, and we lost 31-6. And I couldn't have been prouder of our kids. I mean, a 25-point loss against the team that I was prepared to beat us by 50, you know, and we only had 4 days to prepare for them. That was just a great moment in Quaker history. So, you know, that was something, you know, it was a moral victory, certainly, something to feel really proud of. So tonight, you know, I'm proud of our kids, but they've done well, but I know they can do better in the second half, so hopefully they will. And, you know, they'll just play 24 minutes of outstanding football and then come out and, you know, hopefully play 76 minutes of outstanding football tomorrow in the two freshman and JV games. 36 minutes for the freshman, they play 9-minute quarters, and then 40 minutes for the JV, they play 10-minute quarters. Like I said, we will be out there. Rob Kendall and I, my broadcast partner, will be out there bringing you that one at 9 a.m. tomorrow. So come out, you know, bring your pajamas. I don't care. Just come out and support the Quakers or tune in on audiosportsonline.com as we get a doubleheader that looks into the future of Quaker football. And anyway, we got 5:10 on the at the halftime clock now. Right now, let's take a look at what the other Hendricks County teams are up to. Brownsburg, the best team in the county, not surprisingly. In Class 6A, they're ranked number two. They hold at number two this week after last week's 42-7 win over Franklin Central, in which the Bulldogs shook off a sluggish first half to win big. Tonight, Brownsburg should move up to 4-0 as they play the other Hendricks County team, the other 6A Hendricks County team, the Avon Orioles, who now look like they're off to another painful season. Last year, their first losing season under Mark Bless, going 1-9, only beating Noblesville in the regular season finale. Three weeks ago, the Orioles opened the season relatively strong with a 32-25 win over Lawrence North from the Metropolitan Interscholastic Conference. I believe Lawrence North entered the season number 9. However, in the last 2 weeks, the Quakers have lost 44-13 to Ben Davis and 48-13 to Hamilton Southeastern. You know, things looking bleak now for the Orioles. Hopefully they'll get it turned around. I like to see all the Hendricks County teams do well. Down in Class 3A, Tri-West at 2-1, currently ranked number 9 after last week's easy 55-6 win over the Frankfurt Hot Dogs. I love seeing that name. Tonight, however, the Bruins have a much tougher opponent as they host the 4th-ranked Western Boone Stars. Western Boone, another 3A team. They've won state championships 3 of the last 4 years, the first 2 in Class 2A, then 2 years ago in Class 3A. Also in Class 3A, Danville, after a disappointing 0-2 start, although both to higher class teams, they lost 38-17 to Class 5A Franklin, and then 42-14 to Class 5A Franklin, then 38-17 to Class 4A Powerhouse Mooresville. Last week, they got a narrow 14-13 win over Class 4A Lebanon. Tonight, the Warriors should get their second consecutive win over the Crawfordsville Athenians, a longtime doormat. And finally, in Class 2A, Cascade 1-2 now after last week's 41-14 loss to the 4th-ranked team in Class 2A, two-time state champions, Cena. However, the Cadets should even the record up 2-2 tonight as they visit lowly Cloverdale. All right, 2:23 to go here on the halftime clock. Hold on just a second. Okay. Hold on just a second. Give me about a minute or two. I am very thirsty. I'm going to see if they have any food or drink service to wet my throat to help me make it through the game. Not to mention that I have two games in the morning as well, or the JV and freshman game. So hold tight with me for just a moment, and I will be right back. Well, back here at South Central Indianapolis, where I am disappointed that this is an extremely rare case of a school that does not provide drinks to the media. So, anyway, I will be sure to down a large soda on the way home tonight. Yeah, soda just feels so good on my throat when it's dry. So, all right. Well, anyway, 2:15 now on the clock and on the halftime clock. And you know, my broadcast partner Rob Kindle talked last week about the oddity that in high school ball they run 15 minutes off the clock during halftime, and then only three. Then when it runs down to zero, then they put on another 3 minutes. Why don't they just, you know, run 18 minutes? I thought, yeah, that's a good point. I never thought of that before. It's just one of those oddities that I do not understand. Well, you know, getting a little bit off topic, I was very saddened yesterday by the death of Queen Elizabeth II. You know, I've never been a big fan of the British royal family, but I've always had a lot of respect and admiration for the Queen. And, you know, keep in mind I'm 51 years old. She's the only British monarch I've ever known until now, as he's now known, King Charles III, and I think it'll take a lot of us a long time to get accustomed to calling him that, you know, after knowing him as Prince Charles for all these years. You know, Queen Elizabeth II is just one of those things that I just always viewed as something stable in life, someone who just seemed rock solid and just like a very calm person with a lot of, you know, what I call a quality that I call quiet strength that I always admired. And, you know, I remember shortly before the 2016 presidential election, I got a really big kick out of a satirical letter that I saw that was going around on the internet, in which she was telling us Americans that we've proven ourselves incapable of governing ourselves, so Great Britain was reclaiming us, and she gave us a list of new rules to abide by, and one of them was to stop referring to the sport that they refer to as football as soccer. You know, Europeans, the British think that is just blasphemous that we refer to it as soccer. Although, you know, it's funny that you know, actually many English-speaking countries do refer to it as soccer. Even Ireland does because they have a sport called Irish football, and Australia does because they have a sport called Australian football, which I actually happen to like. They played it a lot on ESPN in the early 80s. I really miss it a lot. It's an exciting sport you should check out. Canada refers to it as football. Of course, gridiron football is very big there. It's the second most popular sport behind hockey. I think they refer to it as soccer in the Caribbean as well and in the English-speaking countries there. So, piece of trivia, I just found out a few years ago the origin of the name soccer. It stems from the phrase association football, which is the full name of the sports that we call soccer. And basically they take the third, fourth, and fifth letters of association, the third, fourth, and fifth letters of the word association, that's SOC, and then they put the CER at the end, so that's where we get soccer. So, anyway, so Start second half here. It's a line drive kick, and it's going to go, I couldn't tell. I think it went out of bounds, or maybe it was inside the pylon. And it looked to me like it went out around the two. Not a touchback. So Plainfield takes over first into their 20. 14, they're up 14-0. So what I say, just play your A game. I don't care if it takes one player 20 to score. Just score. Put this thing away. What you don't want to do with a team like Perry Meridian that's down as badly as they are, I mean, they're only down by 14 points, but they don't have an earned first down the whole game. Their leading rusher has 5 yards, their leading receiver has 5 yards. You don't want to, you know, let them hang in there and think they have a chance. And now Larrison gets it, and he spins around. He's up for maybe two. Troy Larrison got the bulk of the carries last week in that loss to Mooresville. Got his first rushing touchdown coming from 71 yards. Still the longest play for the Quakers this season. They give him credit for 3 yards on that one. He was 4-for-31 in the first half. So he's 5-for-34 now, averaging just under 7 a carry. Very good. So two receivers to the left. One running back, I think it's still Larrison. And now Newell, plenty of time. Passes up the middle. He's got a completion up to the 30. And up, he's got the first down to about the 32. And that was Larrison with his first reception. Give him credit for 10 on that one. Larrison has now completed an even half of his passes. Having by far his best game. So now, hand up there, and this time he gets about 3. So that's a 3 yard rush there, 2nd and 7 for the Quakers at their own 36. .10-24 to go. Plainfield up 14-0 here early in the third quarter. High snap. Now his screen pass is completed, but they get him behind the line, but he flushes way up, and he gets up to about the 40. So that was Grant Irwin there with a pickup of 3. So Newell now has completed over half of his passes. So now the fans stomping on the bleachers here, you know, on the Perry Meridian side of the field, 3rd and 4. And now I think it's going to count as a lateral. And Larrison's got it, so that'll count as a rush for Larrison at about 6 or 7 yards. So the 6 yards there by Troy Larrison, he's 6-for-40 now. First and 10 for the Quakers at their own 46, leading by 14. Another high snap, and this time I believe that's Williams. And he's going to get about 4. Let's see what kind of spot they give him. So they give credit, or they give Williams credit for 6 there. Williams having a quietly effective game. Already, and he leads the Quakers in carries now with 9. 9-for-41. So 2nd and 4 for the Quakers. And now they're in the Perry Meridian territory at the 49. High snap, but Williams gets it. And he's got the first down and more. And he's going all the way for the touchdown. Yes! Antonio Williams. Oh, did they? How did he tell? They still. Did they say that he? Oh, my God, no. He was hit from behind at the one, and the ball went into the end zone. Is that going to be a touchback? What are they saying? Okay, the thing is down. Okay. Very unpopular call among the Falcons fans. Well, I'd like to see a replay on that one. That was an odd one. And now, hand off there to Williams, and I think he got the touchdown there. Yes, he does. So, there's that three-possession lead I talked about, and that should pretty well clinch it. So, it's poetic justice that after Williams, was tackled, and I thought he was gone for the touchdown, so I apologize for calling that prematurely, but I didn't catch who it was, but I give a lot of credit to that, Terry Brady defender who chased him down, and the ball came out of his hand. The referee ruled that he was already down, so now Cameron Grimes with the extra point is up and good, making him 8-for-8 on the season. So with 7:58 to go in the third quarter, your Plainfield Quakers on their way to the first win of the season. They lead the Prairie Meridian Falcons 21-0 here on audiosportsonline.com. The Quakers have gotten one touchdown in each quarter. In the first quarter, it was a 60-yard touchdown pass from Hunter Newell to Grant Irwin. The second quarter, a 33-yard pass from Newell to Irwin. Now, in the third quarter, a 2-yard rush by Antonio Williams. His second touchdown of the season, first rushing. He had an 8-yard reception for a touchdown against Harrison 2 weeks ago, coming off that blocked punt in the second quarter. So, all of a sudden, Antonio Williams having a breakthrough game for the Quakers tonight. First and 10 at the 35 for the, the Quakers now kicking off from the 40. Two receivers back deep for the Falcons. It's deep. It's fielded at a flag down, take the play field bounce. So the guy almost didn't get to it. And now he gets up to about the 17. Boy, it's a lot. Once it goes 10 yards, even if nobody from the receiving team has touched it, it's a live ball. Every once in a while in high school ball, you'll see the receiving team mistakenly act like, the kickoff is a punt, and the kicking team recovers and takes over. So Prairie Meridian still without an earned first down in this game in the third quarter, trailing 21-0. Down to their number two quarterback, one receiver to the left, two running backs now. And now he fumbles the snap, and Playfield's got it. Yes. All right. Well, Playfield's one block, and Playfield takes over at about the 13. All right. So Plainfield takes over, they mark it, looks like at the 12 or the 13. So now we can really stick the dagger in right here with 7:48 to go here in the third quarter. Not that I want to score you lax, but it is nice to not have the tension of the last 3 weeks, I'll tell you. Get well time tonight for the Quakers here in South Central Indianapolis. Now two receivers each side. One running back, Newell in shotgun. And it looks like they got Addington in there as running back now. So Newell, and he throws into the end zone, and it is knocked out of bounds. So Newell, 8 of 16 now, 142 yards, 2 touchdowns. Newell, 8 of 16 for 142 yards, 2 touchdowns, 1 interception. The only blocks on the Quakers tonight, 3 turnovers in the first half, 1 on downs, 1 a fumble. The third one I can excuse, it was a Hail Mary on the last play. but I definitely want a turnover-free second half here. This is ours. We just got to, you know, earn it. I want us to win this game because we were awesome, not just simply because we were against a weaker opponent. So now Larison gets it, goes up to about the 7 or the 8. So Larison has played somewhat sparingly tonight. They give him credit for 8. My son is watching a lot of this game, standing outside, leaning on the fence, looking over. So 3rd and 6 now for the Quakers at the 8. And now Plainfield looks like... So Plainfield takes their first time out here of the half with 7 minutes to go. And a 21-0 lead, trying to make it 28-0. 8:31 your time of day. Well, don't forget, 1 week from tonight, your Plainfield Quakers will be back in action as they stay on the road against the Greenwood Woodmen, longtime rival here at the Mid-State Conference. The Woodmen off to a 1-2 start. They beat Seymour 35-7 on opening night. Then the next 2 weeks, lost to Indian Creek 21-20, then lost last week in their conference opener to Martinsville 28-14. Tonight they're playing the road opener at Mooresville. Should be a big loss, but we'll see. But the Quakers have a good shot to get their second consecutive win next week. So now the Quakers 3rd and 6. They want to squander an opportunity here. So now Larison and I believe that's Vanderbush lining up to the right. And now Warner's here to the left. High snap. And now throws it into the end zone, but it's too far to the right. So now 4th down and 6 at the 8. And now we've got a Quaker down. Hopefully this is not serious. He had three Falcon injuries in the first 16 minutes of the game. Well, disappointing that that the Quakers look like they might be folding here in the red zone after recovering that fumble at the Perry Meridian 12. They, I assume, could go for a field goal here. That would only be a 25-yarder. Grimes, I don't know how long his range is, but he is 8 for 8 on extra points, so I assume he could hit a 25-yard field goal. That would make it 24-0, which still only be a 3-possession lead as Perry Meridian could tie with 3 touchdowns and 3 2-point conversions. Extremely unlikely, though, now that we're in nearly 2.5 quarters done with this game. Boy, I think this is the most injuries I've ever commentated. This is 4 tonight. Usually there aren't many. You know, conditioning has gotten so good now. Players are in such good shape. And equipment's gotten so much better, too. Well, I'd certainly like to thank the broadcast crew next to me. I don't remember which station they're from, but they're so quiet. I like that. I'll tell you, one of the worst experiences I ever had in a press box. I like it when I'm in my own room. I couldn't get my own room tonight. I did it in Harrison a couple of weeks ago. But the worst one was the opener last year at Greenfield Central when the PA guy is like one of the few PA guys I've ever commentated who really acts like a cheerleader. He was so loud and he made the broadcast so difficult. But, you know, I laud him for his spirit for his team. And I'm trying to see who this Quaker is. I can't tell from the angle that he's walking at. You know, that's one odd thing. You know, sometimes the view... Okay, Jacob Lackey, thanks to the people in the broadcast crew next to me. They caught it. I didn't. They do have a slightly different vantage point than I do. So now Plainfield is going for its first field goal attempt of the season. It's a 25-yarder. from Cameron Grimes. 6:55 to go. So, yeah, it'd be good to at least get some points out of this drive. You don't want to, you know, get no points out of it after you take over at your opponent's 12. And the kick is up, and it is no good. So, anyway, disappointing drive for the Quakers as they don't get any points there after taking over at their opponent's 12. No, oh, no, we got another injury. This one on the Falcons. So the Falcons will take over, I guess, at their 8. Man. You know, it just occurred to me, I don't think Noah Hessing has played in this game. He had a great opening night with 3 touchdowns on 21 rushes for 129 yards back in the week 1. Was much less successful in week 2, but he did get a touchdown for us. Then last week was moved to wide receiver and didn't get a whole lot of action. And now that's Warren there. Andy Warren III, who's hopping off the field on his own power, hopping on his left foot, so apparently it's some sort of right foot or ankle injury. The 4th injury for Perry Brady tonight. Poor guys, as many struggles as they were already having. So the Falcons take over 1st and 10 at the 22, receivers to the right, 1 to the left. And it's another fumble! And they're right on top of him, and we bring him down for a huge sack. Yes, and we got a late flag. Hopefully it's not against us, but we'll see. Boy, I didn't squander that, you know, opportunity. Boy, you know, Plainfield's had a lot of high snaps all season long. They got to take care of that, but now that's 2 consecutive two consecutive times that Caldera has that's the 2nd consecutive offensive play on which Caldera has missed the snap. And, you know, maybe it could be because of lack of communication between him and the center. Caldera is the backup. He's a senior. So now it's a five-yard face mask penalty against Perry Meridian. So 1st and 15, and now it's a 3 in a row, and we swarm him down at the 3 or at the 4. So Perry Meridian is going to have to do something about this. This is a serious problem. I mean, you know, if that's three consecutive offensive plays where Caldera, the backup quarterback, has missed the snap, and I'm not saying it's his fault or that's the center's fault, but there's some problem there with one or the other or both. So that's a 10-yard loss there. And you know, I feel for Caldera, because when you're a backup quarterback and you get to your senior year, you cherish any chance you get. And he was thrown to a fire tonight, and look what's happened to him. And now Perry Meridian taking a timeout on 2nd and 25 at their own 5 with 5:54 to go. At this time, let's take a quick pause for a few words from our sponsors, and then we'll be back with Plainfield Quakers football here on AudioSportsOnline.com with Plainfield leading Perry Meridian 21-0 with 5:54 to go here in the 3rd quarter. The Plainfield Athletic Department would like to thank the sponsors who made tonight's broadcast possible and encourage you to support them. They are CCB Contracting, Geodis, Ganell Financial, Julia Burbridge, REMAX Centerstone Plainfield, Kyle Burnfield Mortgage Lander, Flagstar Bank, Team Freely Fairway Mortgage, Bailey and Wood Financial Group, Africa Plum Home, My IT Indy at myitindy.com, I-70 Record Service and Garage, BGW Construction LLC, Beacon Sign Company, Jeff Brown Photography, Karen Alexander Photography, and Whitlow's Towing. Well, back here at South Central Indianapolis, we're about to resume play with 5:54 to go here in the 3rd quarter with Plainfield leading Perry Meridian 21-0. Andy Warren now shaking off that injury. Stopped dead in the stretch there, however. That'll bring up third and about 25 at the 5. 5:39 to go in county here in the third quarter. So they give him credit for 1 yard there. Perry Meridian, you know, rushing is a very big weakness. They're a decent passing team, but their starting quarterback went down with an injury in the first quarter tonight. Their promising sophomore, Alan DuPont, who's had some solid moments this year. His backup, Raul Caldera, has had a very rough time tonight. So now, handoff, and they're right on top of it for a loss, yes. So does Warren now stuff two plays in a row. So I think maybe it's almost like they're just afraid to try anything fancy, but, you know, playing field is completely shut down Perry Meridian rushing all night long, and it's, you know, I mean, if I were a Perry Meridian fan, I'd say at least try something, you know. So now third and 28, or fourth and 28, Perry Meridian coming from the back of the end zone, nearly blocked. And now Larison takes the fair catch at about the 33. So no excuse for not getting up with points this time. We got the ball first to start the first half, scored on a two-yard rush by Antonio Williams. We got the ball first to start the second half, scored on a two-yard rush by Antonio Williams. Then recovered a fumble at the Perry Meridian 12, missed a field goal from only 25 yards, our first field goal attempt of the season. Now we take over after a punt at the Perry Meridian 34. No excuse for not getting a touchdown here. Come on, boys, let's put this one away. Chris Stevens out to the right, two receivers to the left. I believe Antonio Williams now is the running back. Hunter Newell in shotgun at quarterback. And now a good snap, handoff to Antonio Williams. He is brought down right on the line of scrimmage, but we got at least one flag. I think I saw two. Holding offense, so that'll bring us back to 10 yards. So, now poor Raul Caldera, man. He's had a rough go of it tonight. Finally, you know, getting to play some varsity action as a senior. So it's just thrown into the fire. You know, I always want Plainfield to do well, but I never wish harm on our opponents. You know. So hopefully that guy will have some good moments this year. Hopefully DuPont's injury is not serious, but, you know, it'd be nice to see Caldera, you know, finish off on a positive note. So two receivers each side now. I believe Williams is the running back. So now a screen pass, and it is complete for a very short gain. That was Vander Bush. He wears number one. Younger brother of Kale Vander Bush, senior last year for the Quakers, now a freshman for the University of Iowa in the Big Ten. And now we got a flag here long after the play. I have no idea what that's about. Dead ball sideline warning on Plainfield, okay. So Vander Bush with two receptions tonight. I believe he only had one coming into this game. So now, two receivers each side now. Williams, the running back. Newell in shotgun, takes the snap, rolls to his left. Got time. Right now rolls to his right. Throws downfield. He's got a man open, but it's too far to the right. Stevens was the intended receiver. So 9 of 19 through the air for Newell tonight. That'll bring up 3rd and 16. Plainfield with a 21-0 lead. They started off after a punt at the Perry Meridian 34, but then set back 10 yards by a holding penalty. So So now two receivers deep side. And now one running back. And now I hand off, I'm sorry, screen pass there to Larison, but he's brought down right around the line of scrimmage. So Blankfield, they could go for it here. Mules completed exactly half of his passes, 10 of 20. He hasn't had a great game, but he has had a good game. The best game he's had so far. Actually, you got to give minus two there on that reception to Larison. So fourth and 18 for the Quakers. They're in. Apparently Perry and Meridian expecting a punt. There is one. And now we've got a whistle here. So false start. Illegal motion against the Quakers. So now that'll bring it down to fourth and 23. So it looks like the Quakers will punt here. So disappointing that they're not finishing drives to the extent they should, but other than that, a very good game for the Quakers. Certainly something to build on. Certainly the morale is going to be, this is going to be good for morale. Not a marquee win, but a good win, a quality win. So now, high snap, but Newell gets it and he punts out of bounds around the 22. So Perry Meridian, which is still does not have an earned first down in this game, takes over around their own 22 or 23, 2:02 to go here in the third quarter. Coming at you live from Perry Meridian High School in South Central Indianapolis. This is the Falcons' fifth year here in the Mid-State Conference. They finished last in the conference every year since they joined. Plainfield has beaten them by at least 21 points. Every year, 21 points is their margin of the lead. Is their margin of lead now 21-0 is the score to be exact. So now Perry Meridian with a little bit more of an adventurous formation here, two receivers to each side, one running back. Caldera in shotgun, hands off, but they're right on top of him. They bring him down. He might have gotten back to the line of scrimmage. So Jonathan Hunter stopped for nothing, or at least close to it there. Perry Meridian just looks like they have no confidence at all on offense. None. I really feel for those kids tonight. They are playing with, you know, They are playing with, you know, their backup quarterback, who I don't think has ever played varsity ball before. And now they give it to Jonathan Hunter, and he actually has one of the team's better rushes on the night. He picks up about four. That'll bring him about third and six. So give him a credit for four there. Third and six. And Caldera has only thrown two passes. They've gone for 3 yards. Maybe he doesn't have much of an arm, so maybe they're forced to stick with the rushing game. I do not know. So now two receivers, one receiver each side. And now he throws deep downfield, and it is it's caught out of bounds. Isaiah Hunter caught it, but out of bounds, and there's a flag. I can't imagine that's pass interference. I don't think there was any contact until he was out of bounds. Let's see what their ruling is. There have been a couple of calls last night, a couple of calls tonight that just didn't look right to me. No, apparently no flag after all. Maybe, but there was a flag down on the field, but maybe it was waved off. And now it's another problematic snap, and it's blocked! It's blocked! And, you know, and now it's a live ball. The Quakers got it inside the 15. And that was caused by a bad snap. So some really, really bad snaps for Perry Meridian tonight. Keep in mind, this is a program that from 2017 to 2020, those 4 years, won 3 games combined. Started to turn around a little bit last year. They started off 2-1 with solid wins over Franklin and Southport, but then they came to Plainfield, actually gave us a good fight. They led 7-0 into the second quarter before we got two late scores of the second quarter, and then two more touchdowns in the fourth quarter to put it away. So now Newell, and he throws into the end zone, and it is overthrown. I believe Vanderbush was, no, Isaiah Miller, excuse me, was the intended receiver. Well, I do admire Caldera for at least throwing deep on that last play for Perry Brady. I mean, they had to try something. You know. However, unlikely this to work. So now we've got Stevens and Irwin lined up to the right, one receiver to the left. Larison, the running back, and he finds a hole. And he goes up, and he's inside the 10, up to about the 6. So Troy Larison had a relatively quiet game. And I have him with 7 rushes now. They give him credit for 7 there, so I have him 7 for 51. 8 seconds to go, and it looks like they're going to run it out. So your Plainfield Quakers, 12 minutes away from their first win of the season. They lead the Perry Meridian Falcons 21-0 here on AudioSportsOnline.com. We'll be back with the thrilling conclusion after these words from our sponsors here on AudioSportsOnline.com. You're listening to Plainfield Quakers football. The Plainfield Athletic Department would like to thank our sponsors for making tonight's broadcast possible, and we encourage you to support them. They are CCB Contracting, Geodis, Gannell Financial, Julia Derber, Remax Center Stoke Plainfield, Kyle Burnfield, Mortgage Lender, Flagstar Bank, Team Turley Fairway Mortgage, Bailey and Wood Financial Group, Africa Plum Home, My IT Indy at MyITIndy.com, I-70 Record Service and Garage, BGW Construction LLC, Beacon Sign Company, Jeff Brown Photography, Karen Alexander Photography, and Whitlow's Towing. Thank you, business partners. Your support for the student-athletes of Plainfield High School is greatly appreciated. Well, back here at South Central Indianapolis, we're about to start the fourth quarter with your Plainfield Quakers about to get their first win of the season. They lead the Perry Meridian Falcons 21-0 here in game 4 of the regular season. Shaking off that 0-3 start, the Quakers now have the ball third down and three at the 6. They took over their last possession after a blocked punt, and now Addington gets it, and he's inside. I think he's got the first down, at least really close to it. Addington's first varsity rushes have come in this game tonight. They give him credit for 2, so we still got to get 1 more yard for the first. That was Addington's first, second rush, excuse me, his first one for -1 that goes for 2. So it'll be fourth and one at the 4. 11:26 to go and counting. Plainfield has scored 1 touchdown in every quarter tonight. So now we've got Isaiah Miller and Vanderbush to the left. One receiver to the right. High snap again to give it to Larison. And he drives toward the end zone. He spins. He could have it. It's going to be really close. I think he's a yard short. Nevertheless, it'll be first and goal. Give him credit for 2. So I have Larison now 8 for 52. They said he got 3 out of it. So he got 4 plates to punch it in 1 yard. No excuse for not doing it. So now the Quakers hurry up into formation. Larison's the only receiver. Now we've got Addington and Williams at the running back. So now a quarterback sneak by Newell. I think he's got it. Let's see. Waiting for the signal. Yes. So Hunter Newell with, I believe, his first rushing touchdown of the season after four passing touchdowns. So the Quakers have scored 1 touchdown in every quarter in this game. They lead 27-0 with the conversion pending 10:29 to go in the game. So Newell, a semi-breakthrough game tonight, by far his best game of the season. Only made about 2 mistakes tonight. Grimes on the extra point is up and and good. So he's 4-for-4 today, 9-for-9 on the season. He is only blocked on the season. He did miss that 25-yard field goal there in the third quarter. So your Quakers on their way to victory. I assume we'll probably see a lot of reserves the rest of the way. I just want us to take the game seriously and just play to the absolute best of our ability. And, you know, finish strong. The disappointment tonight, we've failed to score. We've scored no points on four drives where we should have scored. In the first half, there was the lost fumble, the turnover on downs, the interception. I'll give a pass to that. I won't count that because it was, you know, on the last play of the game, of the half, and it didn't hurt us. And it was from about 30 yards out. But then, yeah, we had no excuse for not scoring when we took over after that fumble recovery at the Perry Meridian 12, and we missed the field goal. Other than that, you know, it's a very good game. And one thing that's made it even better is that so many guys have contributed. You know, a lot of our games, you know, this year we've only had about 3 or 4 guys who did much offensively. We've got about 7 or 8 who have tonight. Perry Meridian's quarterback, Alan Zupon, a promising sophomore, went out in the first quarter with an injury, and backup quarterback, senior, and now Perry Meridian, oh, and he got a hold. He's up to the 50, 45, 40, 35, 30, 20, 15, 10, 5, touchdown. So Perry Meridian finally gets something going tonight on a touchdown on a kickoff return. So that brings some life into the crowd. I believe that's Isaiah Hunter there. So, you know, a play field has this win close. You know, they pretty well have this one in the bag, but I give credit to Isaiah Hunter for that outstanding play. He found a hole, and, you know, he was gone. Incredible speed down the right sideline. And, you know, you just wonder how, I think Clayton still would have won, but if he had DuPont throwing to him, you know, I think Clayton would have been a lot more competitive in this game. And I applaud the Prairie Meridian fans for staying and for showing such enthusiasm and support for these kids, even when they're having a rough game like this. And now very high snap, and they get the, get it down, and the kick is up and good. So, your score now, Plainfield, 28, Perry Meridian 7. It's showing 29-6 on the scoreboard. They accidentally gave the extra point to Plainfield. 28-7 is the correct score. So, good job by the... Good job by the Falcons for not giving up in what's been an extremely tough game. Again, Perry Meridian, 1 first down the whole game, coming on a penalty. No earned first downs. No player with more than 5 yards rushing or more than 5 yards receiving. By the way, I haven't mentioned the name of the Perry Meridian kicker all night, but Victor Thang is their kicker. He's now 7-for-7 on extra points in this season. So both kickers here are perfect on extra points. Cameron Grimes, 9-for-9 for Plainfield. And, you know, that's relatively unusual to get this far in the season and have two teams playing each other with no missed extra points. You know, that's part of the charm of high school ball. You know, you have a lot of guys. A lot of, even, you know, larger teams that don't have guys who nail the extra points consistently. You know, when you grow up, when you watch the NFL all the time, especially before they move the extra points back to 32 yards, you know, you would almost never have a missed extra point. Almost never. Like, I think they made like 99.5% of them, 99.5%, and probably the last generation before they moved it back. So it's a deep kick, and it's going to go into the end zone for a touchdown. So Victor Thang coming off is only an extra point attempt of the game. Showing a good leg there. That's the second touchback on a kickoff tonight for the Falcons. The Quakers have not kicked a touchback tonight. But what we've got to do now, after that, we've got to strike back and get a score here, make it a pole position game again. You know, we can't get soft. You know, we got to counter that momentum. So Hunter Newell still in the game. Antonio Williams is the running back. We got now Grant Irwin. Okay, we got Chris Stevens to the left. Grant Irwin and two others to the right. High snap, but he gets it over to Williams, who's brought down for a gain of about three. Williams had a rushing touchdown in the third quarter. Plainfield scored one touchdown each quarter tonight. A big group effort tonight for the Quakers. Give Williams credit for three on that one. Second and seven at the 23. So now Vanderbush, Irwin, and one of the receiver to the right, one to the left, takes the handoff. Now screen pass to Vanderbush, but it looks like he tripped as he caught it, so he only picked up about one. They said no gain. Newell 11 for 22 now. Vanderbush with three receptions tonight for 14 yards. 9:10 to go and counting at 9:01 your time of day. Two receivers deep side now. One running back. Newell takes the snap, rolls to his right. He's got plenty of time. Throws downfield. Too high though. He was going for Irwin there. Irwin with two touchdowns tonight from 60 and 33 yards. So that'll bring up fourth down. And I don't like this. I mean, even though Perry Meridian has not had any success on offense in this game, I hate for them to get the ball back with the momentum of that kickoff return for a touchdown. So disappointing drive for the Quakers. Hopefully that's one thing we got to aim at for Greenwood next week. Just finish off every drive. Don't leave any points on the field. And now they swarm and they block it. They block it. And now Perry Meridian, they blitzed at least four guys. And they take over around the 10. So now all of a sudden a lot of enthusiasm coming out of this Perry Meridian crowd that has been quiet for much of the game. I haven't seen anybody leave yet. 8:46 to go. Perry Meridian not likely to come back and win this game, but certainly their special teams like some inspired ball here at the fourth quarter. First, there was the kickoff return for the touchdown by Isaiah Hunter. Now the blocked punt, and now a handoff up to Warren. He gets about two. First and goal now second and goal now at the 8. Andy Warren, a sophomore, played some varsity as a freshman last year, showing some promise. He's the team's second leading rusher coming into this game. Jordan Cisneros, the leader, has only, I believe, carried once in this game. So now one receiver to each side. And now it throws into the end zone, and it's incomplete. He threw it into a brave pass to Isaiah Hunter in double coverage. It was a little too high. Perry Meridian has only thrown six passes in this game, two by Zupan before he got injured in the first quarter. Now only four by Caldera. He's only completed one for three. The Zupan's passes were both completed, but only for but only for 5 yards. And now throw it to the end zone, and it's incomplete. So now fourth and 8. Well, they go for a field goal. Thing should have he's got a great leg. Victor Thing who's had a couple of touchbacks on kickoffs tonight, and it was good on his extra points, perfect on extra points on the season. This would be a 25-yard field goal. And right now, Perry Meridian takes a timeout with 7:56 to go, trailing by 21. So I give the Falcons all the credit in the world. Their offense has been completely ineffective all night, but their special teams really giving the team a boost here in the fourth quarter, even though the game's out of reach. So let me catch my breath here. For those of you just joining us, we're coming at you live from Falcon Stadium on the campus of Perry Meridian High School here in South Central Indianapolis. Your Plainfield Quakers are about to get their first win of the season. They are leading the visiting Perry Meridian Falcons by a score of 28-7. The Quakers have scored one touchdown in each quarter. Perry Meridian has been completely shut down on offense. Their starting quarterback, Alan Zupon, suffered an injury in the first quarter, and his backup, Raul Caldera, has not been able to get much going. He's been put into a very tough situation, to his credit, you know. No criticism of him. He's done his best. And now it throws into the end zone, and it's dropped. So they went for it on fourth down. Hunter nearly had it, and Caldera is so disappointed. The senior who's waited so long to be a varsity quarterback. 1-for-6 on this game, including 1-for-3 on that drive. So they come away with no points after that blocked punt. But that's, you know, I think I would have taken the field goal there just because, you know, to get some points. Because, I mean, this offense is just so weak, unfortunately. So now Larison on 1st and 10 at the 8 gets about 4 or 5. Larison says carries have been pretty spread out tonight. Picks up 3 there. So 2nd and 7 now after the 3-yard pickup by Troy Larison. A very solid game, 10-for-56 by my count. 2 receivers to the right, 1 to the left. 7:10 to go. High snap. That's been a problem all year long. And now Larison gets up for about 3, and we got a late flag here. Let's see what that's about. Holding against the Quakers, so it'll be coming back. So that'll wipe out what was about a 3-yard gain. So it'll be second and long for the Quakers. However, Terry Meridian actually declined the penalty. So that'll count as a 2-yard gain there by Larison. 3rd and 5 now. Terry Meridian trying to get the ball back without giving up any more points. High snap again. And this time, a fixed handoff throws over to Addington. He's got the first down and more up to the 25, up to the 30. So Wesley Addington, only 1 yard rushing on 2 carries, but he picks up 19 there. So the Quakers get a first down, and we got another. That's the 5th Falcon injury tonight, along with 1 Quaker injury. God, what a rough game for the Falcons. This is so painful to watch. Nevertheless, nice move there by Wesley Addington with his first varsity reception. And now Troy Larison, Hunter Newell with a season high 163 yards through the air. And making it even more encouraging is that he's completed those He's completed those 12 passes to six different receivers, so Wesley Addington being the latest. So when we return to action, Plainfield will have the ball first and 10 at the Prairie Meridian 31. The injured player, by the way, for Prairie Meridian is Jordan Stinson. He is a junior, 5'11", 207, the lineman. So now the Quakers trying to add one more score in this game. That'd be great if we got it. Two receivers to the right, one to the left. One running back nearly halfway through this fourth quarter. And now another very high snap. And now Antonio Williams having the best game of the season. He stopped right around the line of scrimmage. They might give him forward progress out for 1 yard. They give him two there. I have him 14 for 98. He did get our third quarter touchdown tonight, a 2 yard rush that was set up with a 47 yard rush. Second and eight now for the Quakers, second and eight at the Plainfield 33. Quakers being very methodical. Two receivers to the right, one to the left. And now another high snap gives it to Larrison. He's got three over on the right side and he's going to get about six. Larrison showing his explosive speed that you'd expect from a track and field star. See where they mark him here. So a face mask penalty on Perry Meridian. So he has so add to the 5 yards Larrison got on that play. So at 5 yards to the five that Larrison gained. So we got a first down here. First and 10, Plainfield at their own 41, 5:22 to go. Trying to get one more score in what's going to be their first one of the season. So the Quakers huddling tonight. Huddling now, excuse me. 9:12 your time of day. 20 seconds on the play clock. But they're taking their sweet time. Irwin now lines up to the left. Stevens to the right. Another receiver to the left. I didn't catch who it is. I believe Williams is in there at running back. Now a handoff. And I'm sorry, that was Larrison. He gets for about two. Plainfield looks content to just, you know, milk the clock here. I do want them to get one more score because they wasted about four or five good scoring opportunities tonight as they give Larrison credit for one. Second and nine now for the Quakers at the Quaker 42. Now we've got Miller and Irwin lined up to the left, one receiver to the right. I believe Larrison is still in there running back. Newell in shotgun. Good snap that time. Gives it. Now he takes the handoff. And now Newell takes it himself, but yeah, he's sacked. So yeah, that's about a 3 or 4 yard loss there for Hunter Newell, who's had his best game of the season tonight. So mark it down for a 3 yard loss. So bringing up 3rd and 13. A 4 yard loss there, bringing up 3rd and 13. So now two receivers to the left, one to the right, Newell in shotgun. Good snap again. And he gives it off and to Williams and he's brought down for another loss. So Perry Meridian really clamping down on defense here late in the game, 3:10 to go now. And Perry Meridian takes a timeout. That's their last. So Plainfield will apparently punt when they get the ball back. it's likely that will be, if not their last offensive possession, at the very least, the last offensive possession of their starters. So, overall, it's been a good game. It could have been a great game for the Quakers tonight. They are going to get out of here with the win, get that monkey off their back, and that's a great feeling. I'm sure that the morale is going to pick up a lot. The demeanor of the team in practice is going to be a lot better tomorrow. I'll tell you, I've been pleasantly surprised at, you know, how quiet it is here in this press box. So it's been very relaxing, and hopefully you all are hearing me loud and clear. I know that at Martinsville in week 9, every time I've been up there, I've always had my own room in the press box, which I treasure. They have a visitor's press box. Harrison didn't, but I did get my own room where, you know, with the field door, which is really nice. Now it looks like Plainfield, you know, 4th and 16 at 0-35. Newell, I guess, will punt here. One man back deep to receive. Another high snap. That's the one thing they got to fix. We can get away with it tonight. We can't get away with it every game. So, Prairie Meridian taking over at their own 40. 3:01 to go. They do not have an offense. They do not have an earned first down in this game. Their only first down was off of a penalty. Poor Raul Caldera, the senior who waited so long to be a varsity quarterback, thrown into the fire tonight, having a really, really rough game. Two receivers to the left now, one to the right. I think this is the first time I've seen Prairie Meridian with three receivers tonight. And now screen pass to Isaiah Hunter, and he makes the catch, and they say incomplete. They said he didn't hang on to it. So Caldera, one of seven tonight. I do hope that kid has some better days in the remainder of his high school career. Prairie Meridian looked like, after this game, I've got to think they're probably going to go winless in the Mid-State Conference again. But I'll tell you that they've had some good moments in football history, and they've had a lot of success in other sports. Katie Douglas, former Indiana Fever star, went to Prairie Meridian. So now Caldera throws deep, this second deep pass of the game, and it is popped by Isaiah Hunter, and he stayed on his feet. He would have taken it for the touchdown. Nevertheless, the first earned first down for the Falcons tonight. The play covers 45 yards. Boy, is that going to be good for their morale. Oh, my God. Those poor guys finally got a break. So now, fake the handoff, and now an incomplete screen pass. Wow. And Prairie Meridian, by the way, had more offense on that play than they did the rest of the game combined. So 2nd and 10 at the Plainfield 15 for Prairie Meridian. If Plainfield gets the ball back, I assume it will be with their second unit. You know, I work in film, so I guess I'm starting to put film terminology into my sports commentary. So now one receiver at each side. Isaiah Hunter, the running back, throws it to the end zone, and it's blocked. It's deflected. I do give them credit, though. I mean, Caldera now is really playing, you know, with some fire, like he really wants to end this game on a positive note. By the way, the score of this game right now is the score that ended the game between these two teams last year, a year ago tomorrow, out at Plainfield, 28-7. Plainfield has beaten Prairie Meridian by at least 21 every year in this series. Now, same formation, and now screen pass, and it is, the timing was off the intended receiver. There was The intended receiver is Byron Hahn. So that'll bring up fourth down and 10 at the 15. So just like after that blocked punt, Perry Meridian, you know, piling up one incomplete pass after another in the red zone. They have given a great effort tonight. They just have been so shorthanded, not to mention suffering five injuries. So now they've got Hahn to the left, Isaiah Hunter to the right. Caldera takes it, throws into the end zone, and the timing is off, and the Quakers will take over on downs. Boy, we do have a flag. We do have a flag, 2:17 to go. Plainfield will get out of here with a comfortable win. So it's a, okay, so roughing the passer on Plainfield. That's the second personal foul on Plainfield in this game. They had one in the first quarter. Coach Woodard will not like having two personal fouls in a game. And now Caldera, oh no, so that's the sixth injury in this game. Poor Caldera, you know, he's had a rough game and now he's down on the field with an injury. Hopefully this is not serious. God, six injuries for the Falcons tonight. I really feel for those kids. I'm glad for the Plainfield win. I just hate that they're going through so much. You know, the most sorry I ever felt for a team in my commentary career, it was back in 1998 when I was primarily covering Cascade football, and in the first round of the playoffs, they drew Park Tudor. Back then, both schools were in Class 2A. And Park Tudor, now they thankfully dropped to 1A. They had some, I heard they had some really big enrollment drops, and then the football team had a lot of injuries, and they actually canceled their Week 8 game in the season because they were down to 13 or 14 players. And then finally, in the playoff game against Cascade, they had, I think they dressed 15 or 16. Cascade was dressing about 35 or 40 a game that year. And I just felt so bad for those Park Tudor kids. By the way, Plainfield won, Cascade won 44-7 that night. The whole second half was played with the running clock. So now we got a third string quarterback into the game for the Falcons. They hand off and he's brought down immediately. That was Ikonke Inyang there on the rush. And we got, they got some kind of a whistle here. I'm not sure what it was about. Okay, so they said it was a one-yard loss. The referee made an announcement. I could not make it out. So now throw into the end zone, and it's caught. Oh my God. That was Isaiah Hunter. He also scored on the kickoff return. And now third string quarterback Zachary Huckabee. He is oh my God. He's a junior, 5 feet, 185. Only 5 feet tall. I can't imagine that's accurate. I wonder if that's an all-time record for the shortest quarterback in high school history. I will check that out, but I'll check to see if that's a mistake. So, Perry Meridian making this final score very misleading here. It was 28-0, you know, earlier this quarter, and now all of a sudden, as Thang is going to the extra point, it's 28-14 with 1:43 to go, maybe an extra point coming up. Maybe an onside kick coming up. So we could have finished with a little bit of trauma here. Oh, my God. So you get down to your Perry Meridian. You get down to your third-string quarterback. And he finally throws your first touchdown pass. And Isaiah Hunter, unquestionably the player of the game for Perry Meridian. Well, if you're a Falcon fan, you know your program has a long way to go, but you gotta like the heart that your team has played with here in this third quarter and that they finished strong. besides, you know, they finished strong despite the horrible adversity they faced in this game, including six injuries, including their top two quarterbacks. And by the way, for those of you wondering about the quarterback's name, Huckabee, it is spelled H-U-C-K-A-B-Y. So I assume he is not related to Mike Huckabee. Although, you know, sometimes there are people who have names that are spelled differently but pronounced the same way, and they're actually related, because somebody in the family changed the spelling of his name either by design or by accident. Sometimes people change the spelling of their names for simplicity or to make it sound more American, or you know, sometimes, you know, when illiterates came over to Ellis Island, they would just tell the immigration agent their name, and the agent would just guess. So, your Plainfield Quakers trying to close out this one. They lead 28-14 with 1:43 to go. I guess they're going to go for an onside kick here. Prairie Meridian was down 28-0. They scored two late touchdowns to make the score seem respectable. Illegal formation, 5-yard penalty. So they didn't even get a ball in the air before they got the penalty. But yeah, Plainfield, we got it. When we get the ball, you know, now I think if Prairie Meridian had not scored, I'd say put in the second unit. Now I say keep in the main unit, just run out the clock. Prairie Meridian has no timeout, so if we recover, we can run the clock down to zero or at least close to it. And now the onside kick, I think he touched it before it went 10 yards. I think he touched it after about, yeah, he touched the ball, I think, after 9 yards. There's a penalty flag. I think that's what it's for, but let's see. If that is the case, then Plainfield will take over, and they will be able to run out most, if not all, of the clock. So the Quakers will take over at the Prairie Meridian 44. And, well, this game ended up going a lot longer than I expected. 9:27 your time of day now. For a while, I thought it might be somewhere in the neighborhood of 2 hours. So, all right. So now the Quakers line up. I assume we'll get three kneel downs in a row from Hunter Duell. By the way, Plainfield, not only did they lose their first three to start the season, they lost four of their last five to close out last season. So coming into tonight, 8 out of 9, the Quakers have lost 8 of their last 9, and Newell kneels down now. So this feels really good. The Quakers, after that 3-2 start last year, they lost 3 in a row to Decatur Central, Franklin, and Whiteland, eked out a 1-point win over Martinsville at, you know, in our senior day. Then got destroyed 54-7 by Cathedral in the playoffs as the Fighting Irish went on to win the state championship. So now, Prairie Meridian out of timeouts. So Plainfield, I guess we'll be able to run out the whole thing. The Quakers, not a great victory, but, you know, it's solid enough that we'll take it. And again, the final score will be misleading tonight. It was not this close. It's 28-14. Plainfield, Prairie Meridian, you know, some late special teams heroics, and then one heroic play by the third-string quarterback, who, according to the roster, is 5 feet tall. I'm going to check to see if that's not a typo. My God. Because I remember once, I accommodated a couple of girls in basketball who were 4'11". And even that is pretty extreme. So now, so Chris Stevens now is actually playing quarterback to kneel at the clock. And now Stevens kneels down, and we won't have to run another play. So I'll tell you, you know, it was we had to sweat a little bit more for it than I would have liked. We didn't finish particularly strong, but after the way the first three games went, this does feel good. Now that we got a handshake line, it's good to see handshake lines back the last couple of years after we just had the wave a couple of years ago during the coronavirus season. The clock ticks down now. 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. How sweet it is! Victory! Your Playfield Quakers get their first win of the season. They beat the Perry Meridian Falcons 28-14 here in South Central Indianapolis. We'll be back with a recap and a preview of next week's showdown at Greenwood after these final words from our sponsors on AudioSportsOnline.com. The Plainfield High School Athletic Department would like to thank our sponsors for their outstanding support of Quakers football that have made tonight's broadcast possible, and we ask that you please support them. They are CCB Contracting, Geodis, Ganell Financial, Julia Berberich, REMAX Centerstone Plainfield, Kyle Burnfield Mortgage Lender, Flagstar Bank, Team Turley Fairway Mortgage, Bailey and Wood Financial Group, African Plum Home, MyITND at MyITND.com, I-70 Record Service and Garage, BGW Construction Company, BGW Construction LLC, excuse me, Beacon Sign Company, Jeff Brown Photography, Karen Alexander Photography, and Whitlow's Towing. Well, back here at South Central Indianapolis for a final time tonight, where your Plainfield Quakers have gotten their first victory of the season against the host Perry Meridian Falcons by a score of 28-14. It's a game in which Plainfield dominated early and often. They did struggle to finish drives, but they completely shut down the Falcon offense until the fourth quarter. And Perry Meridian also had the misfortune of a whopping 6 injuries, including their top 2 quarterbacks. However, the Falcons did finish strong with 2 late scores to make the final score seem like the game was closer than it was. With 4:48 to go in the first quarter, Plainfield opened the scoring on a 60-yard touchdown pass from Hunter Newell to Grant Irwin. Cameron Grimes was good on the extra point, making it 7-0. Then on Plainfield's next drive, Newell struck 33 yards to Irwin for a touchdown. Grimes was good on the extra point, making it 14-0. However, Plainfield closed out the quarter with 3 consecutive turnovers, a lost fumble, a turnover on downs, and then on the final play, an interception on a Hail Mary that kept them from totally pulling away. Then in the third quarter, with 7:58 to go, Antonio Williams rushed it in for 2 yards after setting up the play on a 47-yard rush. Grimes was again good on the extra point, making it 21-0. And finally, in the fourth quarter, Hunter Newell got a touchdown on a quarterback sneak from 1 yard out, and Grimes was good on the extra point, making it 28-0. Then, however, on the ensuing kickoff, Isaiah Hunter took it all the way in for the touchdown for Perry Meridian, giving them their first score. Victor Thang was good on the extra point, making it 7-0. And then on Perry Meridian's last possession, Zachary Huckabee, the third-string quarterback. I had to pull up his name again. But third-string quarterback newly into the game for the injured Raul, Raul Caldera, threw a touchdown pass to Isaiah Hunter from 8 yards out, and Thang hit on the extra point, bringing us to our final score of 28-14. A look at the individual statistics. First of all, for Plainfield, Hunter Newell had not a great game, but a good game, his best game of the season so far. He completed 12 of 24 passes, exactly half of them, for a season-high 163 yards, 2 touchdowns, and only 1 interception, and the interception does come with an asterisk. It was a Hail Mary on the last play of the first half, so it didn't harm us. His leading receiver was Grant Irwin, who had 2 receptions for 93 yards and 2 touchdowns, so both of his interceptions were the touchdowns. Also, Chris Stevens had 3 receptions, all on the last possession of the first half. They totaled 29 yards. Wesley Addington with his first career varsity yards tonight. He had one reception for 19 yards on a screen pass. Caden Vanderbush had his best game so far in his junior season. He had three receptions for 14 yards, and Antonio Williams had one for 10, and Troy Larison had two for minus two. On the ground, it was balanced tonight. Antonio Williams had the best game of his career so far. He rushed 15 times for 95 yards and a touchdown. That is, Antonio Williams rushed 15 times for 95 yards and a touchdown. Troy Larison was 12 for 62. Wesley Addington, 2 for 1. Chris Stevens, 2 for minus 3. And Hunter Newell, 6 for 10 and a touchdown. Meanwhile, for Perry Meridian, Alan Zupon, the starting quarterback, completed 2 of 2 passes for 5 yards before he was knocked out of the game with an injury. He was replaced by Raul Caldera, who completed only 2 of 11 passes for 46 yards. And then finally, Zachary Huckabee, the third-string quarterback, took over on the last possession, threw one pass. It went for 8 yards and a touchdown. Receiving, Isaiah Hunter had 3 receptions for 54 yards and a touchdown. The latter two of the receptions came in the fourth quarter. He had one reception for 1 yard earlier in the game. Then Byron Hunt had one reception for 5 yards. And Byron Steemert, an offensive lineman, in an odd play, had a reception, an extremely rare case of an offensive lineman getting a reception. It was on a tip, and that was for 2 yards by my count. On the ground, not much to report. The Falcons tried several players without much success. Isaiah Hunter had 2 for 5. Andy Warren, 5 for 2. Alan Dupont, 2 for 3. Jonathan Hunter, 5 for 3. Jordan Cisneros, 1 for 1. Tristan Inyang, 1 for 3. And Ekondre Inyang, 1 for 1. So, Tristan Ling. Tristan Ling. Well, I had him 1 for 3, and Ekondre Inyang, 1 for 1. So in conclusion, this is a game in which Plainfield played extremely well defensively, had a couple of letdowns in the fourth quarter, but other than that, this was very much an A performance by the Quakers. They did not let Perry Meridian have a single earned first down until the fourth quarter. In fact, until the last 3 minutes, which is an incredible, incredible achievement. Prior to that, Perry Meridian only had a first down on a penalty. Granted, the Falcons did not have much of a rushing offense. Their leading rusher, Jordan Cisneros, came into this game averaging about 2.5 yards a carry. The Falcons did have, you know, a decent passing offense coming into tonight. But when they lost their first quarterback, you know, and put in Raul Caldera, and Caldera did not play that badly. He just seemed like he was not very well in sync, and there were several very bad snaps. So Perry Meridian really, anytime you lose 6 players in a game, 2 of your top 2 quarterbacks, you know, you're in a tough situation. Plainfield probably would have won this game anyway, but I don't think they would have run away with it to the extent that they did. I think they would have won. Well, it would have been a solid 2 or 3 possession victory. And it was 2 as it is, but again, a very misleading 2, because this was a pretty dominant performance by Plainfield. As for, you know, the Plainfield offense, it was not great, but it was good. Hunter Newell did have his best game of the season. His throws are, you know, and his connection with his receivers are getting more accurate. Grant Irwin, only 2 receptions, but what receptions they were for 93 yards and the 2 touchdowns. And then there were, you know, several guys who got into the action tonight. And, you know, Troy Larison had another good game rushing. Only 12 carries, but he got over 5 yards a carry, 63 yards, 1 by count. We had a season best game for Antonio Williams, a career game, in fact, for the senior. The best game he's had so far. Noah Hessling was out of the lineup tonight. Hopefully he'll be back next week. Chris Stevens looked very good there with those three receptions for 29 yards on the last possession of the first half. So, you know, it wasn't one dominant player. It was just a great team effort. The one thing that did bother me was that, you know, we did not score on four drives that we should have. I'll just say three. I'll scrap the last drive of the first half, even though we did have the ball a good while, and drove the ball to about the 30. That was a Hail Mary on the last play, but the lost fumble, and the turnover on downs the previous two possessions before that, we should have scored on both possessions. And then after we blocked the punt and recovered it at our own 12, it ended up with the missed field goal from 25 yards. When you take over, when you start a drive at your opponent's 12 and you don't score any points, that's a disappointment. So it's three drives where we absolutely should have scored tonight, didn't. Still, I've got to take a glass three-fourths full approach at this point, because this was not an A game by the Quakers, but it was a solid B game. And, you know, the kids looked like they had a lot of confidence tonight. It looks like they clearly have shaken off the malaise of the first three games. And I'll tell you, 1-3 and on a one-game winning streak feels a lot better than 0-4. So I think the morale, the demeanor in practice is going to be a lot more positive now. The confidence is going to be a lot higher now. And, you know, it's so psychologically unhealthy to be winless, especially after, you know, more than two or three games. So, you know, we've caught a fish now. Not a big one. But after the 0-3 start, we're not going to throw this one back. We're going to appreciate this win. And this is not a program defining win by any means, but it's something to build on. It's a step up the ladder. And the next step up the ladder, the next fish will be next week, again on the road, as we visit a very familiar opponent, the Greenwood Woodmen, south of Indianapolis. Hope you all will get up for that one. Greenwood is a team that we've beaten six consecutive times. They're a 4A team. They did give us a scare last year. We escaped with a three-point win after trailing in the fourth quarter when Hunter Newell, in his first serious varsity action, took over for the injured Carson Melvin there in the fourth quarter, led us to two fourth quarter scoring drives, one to tie on a touchdown, the other to win on a field goal. Certainly, we would like to, you know, get our seventh consecutive win against the Woodmen, and like to make it a little more comfortable than last year when we really had to sweat it out. That was a really odd game because we led 14-0 in the second quarter, and Greenwood's starting quarterback had done almost nothing, and then they put in a sophomore quarterback named Brock Riddle, and they moved the starting quarterback to a wide receiver, and things clicked, and they scored four touchdowns, and you know, we had to come from behind to beat them there at the end. However, Greenwood is off to a very struggling start this year. They did win their opener against Seymour 35-7. However, then they followed that up with consecutive losses, 21-20 to Indian Creek, who's a 3A team. And then last week, they lost to Martinsville in their Mid-State Conference opener, 28-14. So that's a very winnable game. Coach Mike Campbell started at his job the same year that Brian Woodard did at Plainfield down in 2006. Woodard has a 12-4 edge of the series. In fact, those two are nearly the deans of the Mid-State Conference coaches, behind only 1 year behind Darren Fisher, who's in his 18th year at Whiteland. Mike Campbell's teams generally are very crafty with the run, but generally don't throw much. So if our rushing defense plays as well as it has all season, and if our passing offense continues to improve, you know, as much as it has over the course of this season, then I think we're going to get out of there with a solid win a week from tonight and send us into our next home game 2 weeks from tonight against arch rival Decatur Central with the momentum of a two-game winning streak and playing our best football of the season. And Decatur Central, by the way, looks like they might be down the season for once. They were due for it. Finally, it looks like it might be this year. They've only scored 7 points combined their last two games, including a 49-0 loss to New Palestine. And yes, New Palestine is a state championship contender in 5-4A. But, you know, we should, you know, you expect Decatur Central, even against a marquee opponent, is going to score more than that. You know, they play what my broadcast partner, Rob Kendall, describes as Tecmo Bowl. They've been known for their, you know, run and shoot offense, you know, for about the last 8 or 9 years now. So, you know, we're on a 13-game losing streak to Decatur Central, including four in the playoffs. I commentated Plainfield's last win over Decatur Central 10 years ago, 17-14. I remember the game very well. Hopefully I'll be commentating 2 weeks from tonight, and we'll get that monkey off our back. We got a mid-sized monkey off our back tonight after shaking off the 0-3 start. Now we got a major monkey to get off our back in 2 weeks against Decatur Central after they've beaten us 13 straight times, including four in the playoffs. But first things first, we got to take care of business against Greenwood next week on the road. I hope you all will be down there. I'll be bringing it to you live here on AudioSportsOnline.com, of course. But if you can get out there in person and support these kids, that's great. And also a reminder to please get out there if you can in person to Plainfield tomorrow morning, 9 o'clock a.m. Come in your pajamas if you have to. Come with chocolate milk and Pop-Tarts like I probably will. And cheer your Quakers on to not just one but two games to get a look at the future of the program and support the freshmen and the JV kids as they start to move up the ladder and get on the varsity team, maybe even later this year in some cases. And hopefully we'll get 2 wins tomorrow and complete a 3-game sweep over Prairie Meridian this weekend. So anyway, not a great win tonight, but a good win and something to build on. So once again, your final score here tonight at South Central Indianapolis, Plainfield 28, Prairie Meridian 14. The Quakers get their first win of the season and rise to 1-3, and the Falcons drop to 1-3. Well, this concludes our broadcast. As always, thank you so much for joining me, and I cordially invite you to do so again 1 week from tonight at 6:45 for the pregame show as your Plainfield Quakers go for their second consecutive win as they stay on the road and visit the Greenwood Woodmen.